जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामगुंड राधागुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमाम श्रीपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपाल नंदना पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम गीतामृतम महद वसुदेव सुतम देवम कंसचानूरमर्दनम देवगी परमानंदम कृष्णम वंदे जगद्गुरुम भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथ जला गांधार नीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलम गीतार्थ गंधोल्कटम नानाख्यानक केसरम हरिकथा संबोधना बोधितम लोकै सज्जन शल्पदैरहरह पेवीयमानम मुदा भूयात् भारत मंगज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मोगम करो दिवाचालं पंगुम लंघयति गिरिम यल्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः सांगपदैर् क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्तियं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम गोविंद गोविंद Krishna started this second chapter saying that one shouldn't cry. Ashochyan anyashochastvam prajñavadamsya vashase gadasu nagadasumsya nani shochandi pandita. Shocha means nani shochandi pandita is saying that learned people, they don't get shaken by the events in the life, what happens in life. What they do, they will look for knowledge, how to become free from the distress in life. That is Krishna's advice, that when you are in distress, not to get depressed about it and worrying about it, rather you have to find the proper knowledge to get, because Krishna's point is this, that Antaryami, which is our identity actually, doesn't have any distress, doesn't have any distress. So if you are feeling distress in life, that's because of your avidya only. That's the first thing Krishna is stressing there. Your ignorance is causing you the distress. Actually, we are satta chitta anandam we are. So why there should be distress in us? This is Krishna's point. So when Arjuna said that about Bhishma, Drona, Kripa and all killing them, because and he felt distressed, immediately Krishna caught him on that and shook him and told him, if you get distressed, that shows that you have no knowledge. That's what basically it is, that you don't have the knowledge. And you will see Krishna ends the Bhagavad Gita also with the same thing. Sarvadharman Bharityajya Mamegam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarvabhebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shucha. Don't cry. That is Krishna's message in the Bhagavad Gita. There is no point in crying at all, because this crying is due to ignorance, Krishna is saying. Not due to the distress. It's due to your ignorance you are crying. And our Antaryami or Atma has no distress in it. Distress is all coming from this Sukham Dukham. So that is why Krishna began with that. You try to see what Krishna's point is here. Then he spoke about what Atma is. Natvaivaham jatunasam natvam neme janadhiba na jaivam na bhavishyami sarvai mayavataparam. That at all circumstances I am always, that awareness is always there. It never got destroyed, never gets lost. Same thing with your awareness, my awareness, Krishna is saying to everyone's awareness bodham. Then, how Atma is present all the time, that's what he was explaining in that verse, Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe, Kaumaram Yavanam Jara. These changes, what is happening in the body, has nothing to do with Atma. Kaumaram Yavanam Jara is all for the body, not for the real self. Antaryami Krishna, or I would say our Atma. That doesn't go through any changes. It is solid. And therefore that he was pointing out there. Tada dehandara praptya dhira satrana muhyadi. So, after talking about that, he said that dhira, our intelligent person, would not have any misunderstanding on all these things. So, gradually Krishna is trying to make Arjuna understand that he has no knowledge, basically. He has no knowledge. He is trying to make him realize that, right? Then, this next verse, what we discussed yesterday, Matrasparshastu Kaundeya, Shidoshna Sukadukhada, Agam Abayinu Anityam Tidikshasu Bharata. This is a verse which requires a lot of contemplation on this verse. You will understand why it is so when you hear through the Bhagavad Gita, right? That heat and cold, happiness and distress, these two things, we normal people think that we have to fight against it. It's not. That's our normal tendency. When it gets cold, we'll make sure that the heating is at the highest level. Or when it is too hot, we need to have AC. All kinds of things we look for. Why is it like that? Because Krishna is pointing out, you feel that need because inside your mind you've got a problem. Problem is this, that you cannot accept duality, dundvam. Dundvam means these two things, heat and cold, happiness and distress, good and bad, right and wrong. These are all dundvams in world. And Krishna says, this dundvam cause problems for you. Why? If you have this problem of heat and cold, happiness and distress, that will lead that into ragadvesham. That leads to ragadvesham. And ragadvesham is the greatest problem for sthita prajnatvam, which comes later. Krishna is connecting all these things together. Yeah, you will see when we come to discuss sthita prajnatvam. What is sthita prajnatvam means? Why prajna is not stable, is always in a shaky situation. That sthita prajnatvam comes from when you have no ragadvesham inside. You will see there, prajahadi yadakaman sarvan parthamanogadan, atmanyev atmanatushta, prasadam adhigacchati. All these verses, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. So those verses, if you look, you will see, sthitapratnyatvam depends on ragadvesham. And ragadvesham depends on freedom from dvandvam. That is the relationship. Yeah. Suppose if you feel a lot of this dvandvam feeling inside, good and bad, happiness and distress, right and wrong, they are all dvandvam. If you are into it too much, that means you will build up a lot of ragadvesham inside. When you see things, for example, in this world, some of the things you may like, some things you may not like it. So naturally, things what you like, you get attached to it. That's ragam. Things what you don't like, you hate it, and that becomes dvesham. So ragam, dvesham, these two things is the after effect of this dvandvam. Dvandvam comes from these two things, shidam, ushnam, have heat and cold, and similarly happiness and distress. So anyone in life who has a tremendous attachment for happiness and distress, one who wants to be happy always, that means he can only accept happiness, he can't accept distress. Krishna is saying, the way to get out of that is, don't get attached to happiness, don't get attached to distress either. You have to build yourself in that way. That's very important in spiritual life. Not to get affected by either by happiness or by distress. If we develop that mindset, it makes easier for anyone to go towards the freedom from ragadvesham. So that's the most important thing in this verse. That is why Krishna put this condition immediately after talking about the body. Body and the soul. This matras prashastu kaundeya shidoshna sukadukhada. Krishna says, the way you have to deal with it is like this. They will come and they will go. They will not stay. None of them will stay permanently. Agam apayino anityam, he says. Agamam apayino. I'll come and they will go. They are anityam. And therefore you should tolerate it. That's the principle. So this attitude in spiritual life is so important. That because in life, lot of distress will come sometimes. And then you will get completely lost in this world. Why? People say, why Krishna has given me all this distress? Why do I have to go through this? People think that if, suppose you have taken spiritual life, immediately all your problems are solved. It is not. It doesn't get solved. Prarabdham will keep working its own way. But this important principle, what Krishna is pointing out there, that don't stick to anything. When problems come, don't get affected by that. Because if you stick to it, it will create dvesham or ragam or dvesham inside us. So that is the reason why this verse has been brought in the very beginning itself. Because in several places Krishna will mention this in the Bhagavad Gita. The same thing, he will keep repeating it again and again and again. Sukham dukham dvandvam. You have to become free from that. When problems come in life, don't feel happy about it. It is solved your, not solved any of your problems. It is temporary. That is, prarabdham is bringing the happiness. Due to prarabdham, you may get some happiness in life. Similarly, due to prarabdham, distress will also come. That is a proper understanding. Distress will come, happiness will come based on prarabdham. And you have to learn to accept it, that it does not affect you in your mind. It does not build up. If you have developed attachment, because everybody likes to have happiness only. Nobody wants distress in life. It is normal, isn't it? That's why we are running after sense enjoyment. Because of this happiness, what you are expecting from that. But Krishna's point is that once you come to a spiritual path, adhyalpam, this approach has to change. It's a big shift required within ourselves. That to accept happiness and distress with an equal mind. Previous generations had that quality. They were able to, because they were not affected too much by the world outside. Most of the people lived in the villages, and some happiness will come, a lot of distress also will come. But you won't see the older people getting disturbed over it. They could survive and get through it unaffected by that. Where did that strength come from? Because if you observe them, you will see when happiness comes in their life, they didn't make it a big enjoyment, overjoyed by that. Similarly, when the distress comes also, you will see their balance of mind getting unaffected by that. So this nature that Krishna is saying here, that mind has got this problem. Mind likes between these two, happiness and distress, right? So if these two things, if it doesn't happen to you, suppose you become free from this problem of happiness and distress, then mind has nothing to do then. Mind has no job then, is it not? So that is why some people will say, if there is no happiness, what the point in living in this world? Many people argue like that. If you don't enjoy life, what's the point in living in this world? Especially in the younger days in life, in the youth. Very difficult to change their way of thinking at that time. In the youthful days, everyone, young person, man or woman, they're all thinking life has to be enjoyed, otherwise what's the point in living? They will ask this question. No, that's not spiritual understanding. That's mundane understanding it is. Because they don't know what the truth is. Krishna is saying to us that if you start seeing happiness and distress is necessary in life, and if it, that's what you are looking for, then you are not ready for spiritual life. For spiritual life, you require this balance inside. Happiness comes or distress comes, either way. So, so Krishna says, adjust with that at any cost, right? And so, if you analyze it a little bit more, this principle, right? You will notice that if you have developed this mindset of not accepting happiness or distress inside, then what will happen is, no powerful emotions will happen inside you. You won't be shaken by any powerful emotions because you are not accepting either of them. Right? And that is the situation. And what will happen? If there is no powerful emotions building up inside, then sukham, dukham, harsham, shokam, all these things are not happening inside. They are all activities of ahangaram. We have mentioned that in the Ekadasham. Krishna said that, isn't it? Harshoga, harsha, bhaya, krodha, loba, moha, spruhadeya, ahangarasya drishyande. It is the activities of ahangaram. It has nothing to do with you. Your ahangaram is getting affected by that. And if you allow that to happen, then you will suffer from that. So, all the time what we are trying to do is to become free from that ahangaram, from the grip of ahangaram inside, right? So, if you go in that direction, what will happen inside is, suppose you start accepting everything what comes from the world, all kinds of emotions, all kinds of happiness or distress, what is coming from the world, if you keep accepting all of that, then your inside will be in a mess totally. You will find it very difficult to see the reality behind it, right? So, you won't be, what we have to remember is that outside world you can't do anything about it. That will go its own way. There you have no control over it. But you can control things inside. This is the principle. That is spiritual life. Outside world you can't do anything. Look at the world today. Nobody thought it will develop the way it is going on now. Everywhere problems. Nobody knows what to do about it. Where is it going? No one knows. Everyone is in anxiety. And things like that. War is going on in so many places. And leaders are also, heads are gone. And no, seems that no one has any control over the situation. What does that indicate? Indicates that Prakriti does things in her own way. There also you have no control over that. That means if you are trying to change the world, that means that you are trying to question Prakriti basically. Prakriti means Maya. Maya means the three modes of nature. She is too powerful, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Mama Maya Duratyaya. He has openly told us that. Devi Hyasha Gunamayi. Mama Maya Duratyaya. So, when it is like that, it is a stupid thing to think that I can control it and change it. The world will go its own way. No point in worrying about it. But there you have no control. But Krishna is saying, you have control inside. How those things won't hit you? How you can stay away from that, unaffected by that. And that is the principle what is spoken in this verse. How to remain unaffected by the events, what is happening in the world outside. That is what that verse is saying. Matrasparashastu kaundeya. Shidam ushnam. They are the examples for that. Sukham dukham. Sukham dukham is coming from the world outside. Agam apayino. And the way to deal with is agam apayino anityam. Know very well that anything that comes from the world outside, it will go. It won't stay permanently. Agam apayino anityam. They are temporary. Tam tidikshasya bharata. Therefore, Arjuna, develop this attitude in life. Tam tidikshasya bharata. So, this is the opening statement in the Bhagavad Gita. You may always wonder, as soon as after talking about the Dehinosmin Yathadehe verse, why Krishna spoke this? Why did Krishna say this verse immediately after that? The reason is this, that this verse, Matrasparshastu Kaundeya, this verse, if you have properly assimilated inside, understanding it properly, on what basis it is spoken, it will help you in understanding the remaining verses which is going to come later, Raga Dvesha Vimukta Istu. Because Raga Dvesham is also duality, Dvandvam it is. Like Sukham Dukham. Sukham causes Ragam, Dukham causes Dvesham. That is a connection between the two. Raga Dvesham and Sukha Dukham. So if you have learned the art of controlling Sukha Dukham, not affecting you, that means you have become free from Raga Dvesham. You won't develop Raga Dvesham then. If you have learned the art of controlling Sukha Dukham, that means that you have become free from the problem of Raga Dvesham. Why we feel, because we are attached to this Sukha Dukham. Sukha Dukham keeps us going in this world. And everybody is working hard in this world for what? For Sukham only. We want Sukham. Nobody wants Dukham. Everybody wants Sukham. Krishna is saying, your whole calculations are wrong. Because if you take that attitude, I want Sukham at any cost, you will have a lot of Ragadvesham inside. The result of that, you will have a lot of Ragadvesham. And if you have a lot of Ragadvesham inside, you are lost. There is no question of spiritual life after that. That is why the second chapter is so important. Krishna is saying the principle on which the Antaryami and the Jiva operates. This is the principle on which the Antaryami and the Jiva operates. Antaryami has nothing to do with Ragadvesham. Antaryami has nothing to do with Sukhadukham. It is all for the Jiva. And it is the Jiva's attitude and how Jiva deals with the world. That is where Krishna says correction is required. The Jiva means Ahangaram. How our Ahangaram suffers due to its interaction with the world and how to become free from that problem of the world having its effect on us, on the Ahangaram. How to handle that, that's what that verse is about. Matrasparshastu Kaundeya, Shidoshna Sukadukhada, Agama Bhaino Anityam, Tam Tidikshasu Bharada. You can go back and ask ChatGPT, how many times Krishna has referred to Sukham Dukham in the Bhagavad Gita? Minimum you will find 15 times spoken. Sukham Dukham, Sukham Dukham, everywhere. When he talks about devotee, he is saying a good devotee's quality, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yavacha, Nirmamo Nirahangara Sukadukha Samakshami, he is saying. No Sukadukham, that means bhakti. In bhakti, Krishna says a devotee means Sukadukham does not affect him. Remember those verses in the Bhakti Yogam chapter? 12-13 verses. 12-20, that's the bhakti. Who is a devotee when Krishna is saying? 13th verse is about a devotee, is saying, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yavacha, Nirmamo Nirahangara Sukadukha Samakshami. That Sukadukha Samakshami is this verse about. That when Sukham Dukham comes, able to deal with it on an equal footing, not being disturbed by that nature, right? This is in the Bhakti Yoga. Going to Jnana Yoga, in the 13th chapter, Krishna is saying there, Nurmana Moha Jidasanga Dosha Adhyalma Vrtya Vinivrta Kama Dundvair Vimuktam. That is this. Again, Dundvair Vimuktam Dhrasamya Gachand Yamoda Padam Avyayam Tat. That verse. So for a jnani, this is required. For a devotee, this is required. And if you look at other places also, I can't remember all the verses. In the 6th chapter, when Krishna is talking about Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali Yoga Sutram and all, the same thing spoken again, Sukha Dukham. How to deal with Sukham Dukham, first thing. If that art, if we have learned, you will make a lot of progress in spiritual path. If you have learned that art of dealing with Sukham Dukham in this way, that means you have developed a Titiksha. The power of Titiksha. And Krishna has given us this power, Titiksha. He has given it to us to tolerate things in life, all the sufferings that comes, able to remain unaffected by that. So that is why that verse Krishna has spoken there. Why is it important? Because Krishna is saying, they come and they go. And anything that comes and goes is not important. You can see that also. For example, a death happened in the family. For the first few weeks, you will feel the distress. After a month, 3 months, 6 months, you keep looking at yourself, you get forgotten. It has become memory for you. It's gone. Finished. That person has gone from your life. It has become just a memory. After 10 years, you think about it, you can't even remember anything what happened. You can't even remember that you are with such a person in life. This is how happiness and distress is. Agam, apayino, anityam, Krishna saying, they are all temporary and you cannot give any value to it. Agam, apayino, anityam. Therefore, tam, tidikshasya bharata, develop tidiksha from that. Learn this tidiksha, Krishna says, and develop that tidiksha insight, which is absolutely essential to go further in this chapter. This tidiksha, coming from able to deal with the duality, knowing very well the importance of that, because it will create, sukham dukham means, it will create raga dvesham. If you have learned the art of becoming free from sukham dukham means, your level of raga dvesham inside is very low. That means, world is nothing but four things. Remember? Raga dvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutva. This raga dvesham problem you have solved if you have accepted this. What Krishna has said there. If you wholeheartedly take this verse inside, it will change your spiritual life completely. You won't be affected by anything what goes on in this world, your spiritual life. Otherwise, all the time questions will come, asking this, why did this happen? Why did that happen? So Krishna says, so many things will happen. This is Prakriti, Maya, three modes of nature. She will do what she wants to do. You don't have any control over that. The only control you have is inside, how those things don't affect you inside. And there you have got a control if you want it. And that is what Krishna's point here is. Yeah? So, saying this, Krishna started that verse. Matra abhiniyande shabdadai idi shrotradini indriyani matranam sparshaha shabdadvi samyogamte shita ushna suga dukkadaha shita ushnam sugam dukkam paichandi idi. So, basically what it is, that whenever senses make contact with sense objects, the mind goes through it and makes contact. You have to separate everything. You have to separate the mind from Atma. You have to separate mind from the Ahankaram. You have to separate the mind from the senses. Mind goes through the senses to sense objects. And when the mind goes through senses to sense objects, they bring the sense objects inside. Based on that, the mind makes the happiness and distress. This is the process, basically. The process is that. Mind goes through the senses to sense objects. The sense objects comes inside. Mind interprets it inside, good and bad, sukham dukham. Accordingly, you feel sukham dukham inside. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. What we call it as sukham dukham. Sometimes people become so distressed in life. Something happened in their life. Partner gone or financial loss, big financial loss. So many things can happen in life. All this is part of this big show going on here. So under all these circumstances, Krishna is saying that the understand that it is only due to the association with the senses or sense objects, the mind has got into this problem and therefore you have nothing to do with it. Mind has gone outside, made contact with the sense objects through the senses. They came inside and mind started interpreting, which is the job of the mind. Sankalpam, vikalpam. That's the job of the mind. Yeah. So, so from that, teshu harsham vishadam cha mam kachi ityartaha. As I said before, you remember, Krishna is very firm on this issue. He won't make any compromise. Krishna said to Uddhava, what did he say? Kim badram kim abadram va. Doidasya avastunakiyel vajoditam tadamrdam amrdam manaso dhyadam evava. You remember in the 28th chapter, I think, when Krishna talked, concluding Ekadasya Skandam,
Uddhava, you talking about all these things, which is all coming from your mind, what value has it got? Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Kim Bhadram, what is auspicious and what is inauspicious, he says. Kim Bhadram, Kim Abhadram va. Why? Dvaidasya. They are all dvaidam only. Avastana kiyal. They are not real. Vachodidam tad anurdam manasodhyatam eva va. What you are speaking, what you are engaging your mind with, it's all lie. Total lie it is. It has nothing to do with the reality. Very emphatically, Krishna has put that on Uddhava's head. The first 8 verses, you should study that. Important verses in the 28th chapter, 11th canto. So there also Krishna is saying to Uddhava the same thing what Krishna is saying to Arjuna here. That duality means, duality comes from the mind. And mind creates this duality because sense objects comes inside. And then you are talking about it through your words and through the mind. And that is all total lie, Krishna. That is not real. That's lie it is, completely. Because it's a product of the mind it is. And you can't accept that as the truth. So, self-realization, this is a stage in that. One of the early stages where you become free from... So, normally when distress comes in life, you will become a little bit more deeper inside. And then you will be able to accept it easily. Otherwise, what will happen is you will hear this and it will go through the ear. Again, you will do the same thing what we were doing before. So, he said here. Then, after saying that, Krishna says this, that suppose the mind has stopped this business of coming and going, right? And if it stops that, Krishna says, then from inside, from behind the mind, a certain realization will keep coming. You'll start seeing the world differently. Anubhuti, it is called, right? To our experience in our life, we'll start experiencing something different. What is that? And it is not mental, not coming from the mind, right? Many people are thinking like that, many people think like this. If you have spoken to other people about it, you see different people you can speak to and see how they react to it. They will say that, suppose there is no happiness and distress in life, right? How can you exist in this world? So many people ask this question. Always, isn't it? Because they don't know that there is a different state altogether. If you have worked with people in different offices and, when you tell them that don't get excited about anything, or when you tell them don't get totally miserable with what happened, they think that you have a very concrete type of mind inside. You cannot think. And if you don't get affected by that, then what's the point in living, they say. People ask this question, so many times they've asked, that if problem comes in life, or I have seen this in the offices, suddenly the management declared, everybody is telling yearly bonus you get when you work, right? In private companies particularly. Normally they'll give you minimum, it's required 4%. At that time when I was working, it was 4%. Suddenly the American management decided in the company that this year we are going to give them 10%. You should have seen the people's life that. Immediately at lunchtime, they dropped everything, went to the pub to get drunk, to celebrate this 4% to 10%. So you could see when they come back, the happiness inside they felt. That 4% to 10% has made such a big difference in their life, money-wise. And obviously everybody likes money, but if it starts creating this sort of effect inside. And the same way, one day the management decided we are going to close down the company. Immediately everyone felt so depressed and they again went to the pub to get drunk. So this is normal, people are like this. Krishna says they are not ready for spiritual life. Spiritual life is not for them. People who are getting excited in 1 minute and who are getting completely depressed in the next minute. That is not a favorable situation for spiritual life. And that is the point he is making here. Yeah. So people ask this question, what's the point in living then? If you don't have... Point in living is to get rid of these problems inside. Yeah. So some people say, there should be a challenge in life. If there is no challenge, what's the point in living? Right? What kind of challenge do they want? They want some challenge so they can get excited, thrill inside, right? And if you get strong emotions like this inside, is that a challenge? Is that what you call as a challenge, right? And then when the challenge comes, you get affected by that and then you are suffering from that. So is that what you are looking for in life? Yeah. So suppose you don't have any of these things, this excitement and this suffering and all these things, and you have decided not to accept happiness and distress inside. You learn that art, how to stop it, right? In other words, only if it's necessary, you will do some work, if it's essential, right? And if you are not, if you don't need to do anything, you will sit quiet, not doing anything. And you have decided to say no to working. I don't want to do any work unless unnecessarily, what I don't need. What I need, I'm already doing it. I don't want to do anything more than that, right? If something has to be done, I'll do that. If I have nothing else to do, I will remain peaceful, unaffected by that. So, but ordinary people, I'm talking about who are not in the spiritual life, they are not ready for that. Why? They are frightened about their own mind. You may have seen that with people. Very lot of people are frightened about their own mind. Mind can give them a lot of problems, right? So what they will do is, they will try to distract the mind in engaging in something else, right? And I know in English there is a saying, idle mind, devil's workshop and all that. That's fine. For ordinary people, that's good for them because they have to do something else, right? So that instruction, that idle mind is a devil's workshop, up to a stage it's okay. Yeah? And after that, if you stay quietly, not doing anything less, and anything happens in life, if you keep on trying to feed that demon inside called mind, Asura inside, right? And if you keep on giving the tonic for that demon, Asura inside, right? He will become stronger. He will become stronger. And this dundvam, what Krishna calls it as dundvam, which is the dualistic process, which is nothing but ragadvesham, that is the same thing as sukha dukham. If this ragadvesham has to go, and if that happens, then this movement of the mind will stop. The mind moving back and forth, dancing according to the sukham dukham, that dancing business, like a pendulum operating, that will stop. And a spiritual person, one who wants to realize the self, Krishna is saying, his whole attention should be on this mind, in which way it is moving all the time, right? So if that stops, then comes what we call it as antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam means inward looking. That is when inward looking starts. When this oscillation of the mind stops, then inward looking begins. Remember, when Srinarada Maharshi came to see Vedavyasa Maharshi before talking Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi was going through a crisis in his life. He wrote Mahabharatam and then he found that nobody is listening to him. And he was very depressed about that. After writing this huge Mahabharatam, 125,000 verses, people are not interested in listening to it. And he felt a little bit depressed and he thought about this. Why is it like this? That they are suffering. And he has got the answer for that. He says, dharmam is important. Dharma rachid rachida and all that he spoke. In spite of that, he felt that, what went wrong? What went wrong in my writings? And then, after inward looking, Vedavyasa Maharshi is very much inward looking person. Right? He has got such a capacity for inward looking, that from inside, Antaryami gave the answer to him. That you did not describe the glories of Krishna properly. Because people who are ordinary people in the age of Kali, they won't be attached to dharmam so much. But if they get to hear about Krishna, they will get attracted to Krishna and they will become his devotees. Therefore, from inside, Antaryami told him, this is what you have to see in the Bhagavatam. Antaryami tells him to write about Krishna separately from Mahabharatam. Even though Krishna is throughout Mahabharatam, separately you write a book about Krishna, and that is how Bhagavatam came about. Now, after he got this answer, it is after that Narada Maharshi comes to see him. You see? It's not that Narada Maharshi came one day in a fine morning from Himalayas and told Vedavyas, why have you not written Bhagavatam? No. There's a background behind it. Background is this, that already Vedavyas knew the answer, what the problem is. What Narada Maharshi has done, he confirmed it. What was going through his mind. This is how great personalities work. Mahatmas, Rishis and all, they are very deeply inward-looking. Deeply inward-looking they are. So therefore, when the problem comes, they don't go outside looking for the solution. They go inwards. And they know, if they have learned the art of looking inside properly, Antaryami will answer them. They have that connection with the Antaryami. This is their success. All the Rishis are like that. All, Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, all of them. You look at in their life how they have found a solution to their problems when the problems come. Yeah. So this science of going inwards, Antarmugatvam, right? Antarmugatvam means, what does Antarmugatvam mean first of all? I know everything we have to explain now. Because Antarmugatvam means sitting and watching the madness of your own mind is doing. That's Antarmugatvam. Sitting separately from the mind and looking at your own mind and the madness what it is creating inside us, right? So when we look outside in the world and we see the people and everything what is going on inside, in a similar way, you will start seeing inside also what is happening, right? All kinds of emotions building up against different people, what you have friendly or people whom you hate, how those emotions are building up inside, right? If those things are not happening anymore, or in other words, this field of emotions called the mind, if it is loosened up in that location of the mind, you will experience a certain kind of shanti inside. Shanti inside. And that is what Upanishad is saying there. Shanti samruddham amrutam idi prapita yogo vasuha. Upanishad is saying this. Yeah? When that shanti comes inside, you can more or less sure that your mind is under, mind has subdued itself. Mind is not anymore going to cause any more problems to you, right? So that upasana of finding shanti in that way, by stopping these disturbances which the mind is causing, right? And Upanishad says that is Brahmam. That shanti what you experience at that side is called Brahmam. Shandoyam Atma. Upanishad says Shandoyam Atma, right? That shanti itself is Atma. It is the presence of the soul, right? So, and if you turn your attention on that shanti, Atma inside, then this shidam ushnam, heat and cold, happiness and distress, and all other things, what is coming from the duality, dundvam, from the world outside, without cursing them, you will learn to tolerate them. Without cursing them, you will learn to tolerate them, right? In other words, everyone will get these things if they work for that, right? Sukham, dukham, happiness and distress, and pain in the body, all these things, everybody will get it. You see, this is why you have to study the life of Mahatmas, how they dealt with this situation. We give a few examples. Ramana Maharshi had cancer. He had cancer, yeah? And people were curious to know, was he feeling the pain due to cancer? You know, in those days, there was no chemotherapy and radiation and all these kind of treatment. And not only that, Maharshi won't accept any of those things. He used to look at it in a completely different way. So, so one person wrote him a letter. In them days, people from other places, they will write letters because we have no mobile to call Maharshi. Maharshi didn't have a mobile either. So now we have become very advanced in this. In them days there was nothing. You will write a letter and wait for the reply to come. Yeah. So somebody wrote to him. Everybody was saying he is a liberated soul, Jivan Mukta, Jnani, and things like that, right? So they asked him that, they were trying to find out what this Jivan Mukta means. Does he not feel the pain anymore? Maharshi wrote back, told him that I had severe pain in my body. I had severe pain in my body. Yes, pain, body, I have experienced the pain, but not me, he said. I didn't feel the pain. Body was experiencing the pain. To say that, it requires some strength inside. Otherwise, it's not possible, right? So, and pain is there, but not the suffering, he said. Pain is there, but not the suffering. Do you understand that? Pain is there, but not the suffering, he said. So, and thinking about the pain, I don't suffer either. This is Jivan Mukta stage. Yeah, you know, when you have to leave the body, you don't know what all will come at the end, in which form it will come, and how long you will have to go through. All these things are good lessons to learn from these great personalities, how they dealt with it when that situation comes in our own life. Yeah. So he was able to identify with that pain, in other words. That's what he did. Identify with that pain. The pain is there in the body, and pain is also coming from the Antaryami. That's the way he accepted that. Antaryami wants to have that pain, therefore it is nothing I can do about it, and I don't complain about it. Right? So that is their saying. So that means every time an experience happens in life, and with that, they will connect Antaryami with it all the time. It is Antaryami's decision that this pain should happen to the body. That's the way they will accept it, right? So, and that anubhuti, that is anubhuti it is. That means that they have become so close to Antaryami. Our problem is that we don't even, not sure there is an Antaryami inside or not. This is how we are, yeah? Ordinary people I'm talking about, like us. We are not any, we are in a completely different state of mind, yeah? So, if when suffering comes like this, and if Antaryami becomes connected with that, then an anubhuti comes from inside, and that anubhuti will become samadhi. Will become samadhi. So that is the secret of all these realized souls. This is how realized souls deal with the sufferings of this world. All sufferings in the world, they deal with it in this way. That when pain comes from the body, they realize it that the pain is also coming from Antaryami. Because without Antaryami sanction, pain cannot happen. Is it not? Mind is working because of the Antaryami. Ahankaram is working because of the Antaryami. Intelligence is working Antaryami. Senses are working because of Antaryami. Similarly, all the happiness and distress also is all happening through Antaryami only. Antaryami's presence is required for you to feel the pain. So if Antaryami has allowed that happen, means Antaryami is happy to have it. Take it, right? And therefore, he is not affected. That's the way they deal with that, right? And that is their secret, right? So, there was this ashram in Kanyangad where Swami Ramadas stayed, right? Swami Ramadas, right? He says there, when he felt pain, you know what he used to say? Ramadas is having ecstasy, he says. When he was suffering with the pain, they had to go through a lot of suffering in life because they won't go for any treatment. And they are completely dependent on spiritual life. And they have no attraction for the body either. And trying to maintain the body, whatever comes, it comes. And as far as eating and sleeping is concerned also, they don't have any regular habits either. Whatever food, when they beg, whatever food is given to them, they will eat that. That may not be to your liking, but still they will have that. Yeah. So, he used to say like that. So, for a Brahmanishta, one who is established in the Brahman, Sukham, Dukham, all these things can become Samadhi state. Samadhi, Anubhuti. Right? Because all Vigaram, all emotions like feeling pain, suffering, happiness, distress, all these things, is all happening only in that bodhamandalam, in our bodhamandalam. Bodhamandalam means that the consciousness or bodham in us, it is in that these things are experienced, right? And therefore, once you get to realize that, shidam ushnam, sukham dukham, is also for them, it is experience of that bodhamandalam, or which is called as brahmanubhavam, experience of brahman, right? So, anubhavam, or anything when you are experiencing something inside, that means that it is coming from Brahman. It is coming from Brahman. Brahmanubhavam it is, all experiences, right? And to make it more clear, this experience what we get cannot happen in jadam, is it not? That's very easy to understand, isn't it? For example, this microphone has no emotions. If I abuse the microphone, it won't say anything. If I glorify the microphone, it won't say anything. And it's the same with everything else. So, jadavastu, jadam means this matter, pure matter. Pure matter has no emotions. Has no emotions. So, that means, because it has no emotions, it doesn't have any anubhavam, experience either. We are not jadavastu. We are chaitanyam. Because we are chaitanyam, we have anubhavam. Do you understand that? That anubhavam is only, anubhavam means this experiencing things. It's only for chaitanyam. It cannot happen for jadam. Jadam and chaitanyam, that we must always separate them. Jadam does not have anubhavam. Only chaitanyam has anubhavam. Right? So, it is impossible for jadam to experience anything. Just like I experience my existence, don't I? You all experience your existence. You all experience your own experience, right? But mic doesn't have an experience. This mic doesn't have an experience that it exists. What we have got, this doesn't have, right? So, also it doesn't experience like the way we exist, that feeling it doesn't have, right? So, even if you kick this, break it, smash it down, it won't protest. Why? It doesn't have any experience, right? Or if you glorify it, it won't say anything either. Because the mic doesn't have anubhavam, what we call as anubhavam. Anubhavam is only for chaitanyam. Anubhavam never comes for jadam. So, because it is this anubhavam we all have, anubhavam, that I exist, you also have the same anubhavam, that you all exist, right? And this anubhavam is a symptom of Brahman. Brahman. Sachidananda Brahman's one aspect is this anubhavam, what is called Sat. What is called Sat. You see, Krishna has not talked in this chapter anywhere about worshipping him or any god. It is pure knowledge he is saying to us. Yeah. From this he will lead us into what is Satya and Asatya. Na sado vidyate bhavo na bhavo. That famous verse, right? So you can see Krishna's point is this, that looking for a god and all that in this world, if you want to do it, you do it. But ultimately you will have to come back to this, Krishna says. You can start with your spiritual life looking for a god in the world, going to different places, going to the temple, a particular form, and things like that. One can go in that direction. There's nothing wrong in that. Everybody starts like that. Like when your child, to the children, you can't say all these things. Nothing will get into their head. So what do you do with the children? Take them to the temple, let them see the deities, let them offer obeisances. That's just the beginning stage. In the early stages, you need all that. You cannot avoid that. You need all that things. Before you mature yourself to understand things in the proper way. Like the way Krishna is talking about. For a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, even 15-year-old, if he explains these things, it won't get in. He cannot understand. So for him, Krishna is saying you need all the other things as well. But one thing he says, you go and do all these things, but ultimately you'll have to come back here only. As this Antaryami here. Inside. That's where everything is happening. So, and that Brahmam, that is that Brahmam inside, and that is not something what you have to get from outside. It's already there, something that you already have. Because you're having this anubhavam experience shows that there is Sachidananda Brahmam inside us. Satta Chitta Anandam is inside us. That's a proof of that, that we are feeling this anubhavam. Therefore, yeah. So, therefore, he says here, this heat and cold, happiness and distress, whatever it may be, it is coming in our anubhavam, and it is all this Andaryami inside or our Atma inside is accepting that, and that is why you are experiencing that. He didn't call happiness and distress that. Yeah? So, and they are also called incarnations of the Andaryami. All happiness, distress, and all other things what you are experiencing, that's also another type of incarnation of the Andaryami, right? So, take for example, take Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance, right? One style of incarnation that is, Krishna's. Look at Narasimham, totally different, frightening it is, that incarnation, right? And then you look at Varaha incarnation, you don't give any value for it because it's just a boar, is it not? So people start asking how your God can become a boar. People are very funny also because they also don't understand all these things properly. So they say, oh, you people worship all kinds of things in this world. You worship boar. Pig, boar is a pig, pig is haram, and you are worshipping pig. So what are you supposed to say to these people? Because in their understanding, there is one God somewhere sitting there, and he controls, they are not developed properly inside. That's why they are asking this question. They are stuck in that state. They can't think any more further than that. Rishis don't agree with all these kind of things. So they are saying here, he can come as a boar, he came as a fish in the water. 8th canto, 24th chapter, Malsyavadaram. He came as a fish in the water, right? And devotees are accepting all this is you, one truth. Is it not? Then, you are accepting the teachings of the fish, teachings of the boar, teachings of Narasimham, and teachings of Krishna as well, in Bhagavadam. Is it not? So, forms may be different. Teachings are important, not the forms. But our people don't understand. They think, oh, Narasimham, we are frightened. People have funny understanding. They think that Narasimham is for protecting devotees. Somehow or the other, it becomes like that, a popular feeling like that. When I'm in trouble, when I go on Harinam, police is attacking, we should chant Narasimha mantra, they say. That time, Krishna, we don't ask for Krishna's protection, Narasimha's protection. And then when you are drowning in the water, you ask for fish protection. In the forest, if you are getting attacked, you ask for pig's protection, boar's protection. This is all the interpretations of the devotees, in the sense that who have not understood the incarnation principle. Incarnation principle is like this. This Andaryami inside can come in different forms. Krishnavadaram is very beautiful because there is so many beautiful pastimes in that. Whereas Narasimhavadaram is very frightening. The way he dealt with Hiranyakashipu and how he tried to destroy Hiranyakashipu, dealt with Prahlada and all that, and how Narasimha protected that. So it is a different aspect of that same Andaryami. And then when look at the boar incarnation in the 3rd canto, Bhagavadam, how boar incarnation, how it came about, and how the Rishi started glorifying. And it took a little time for them to understand why he came in the form of boar. You remember that? When we discussed 3rd canto, we mentioned that. That why did Krishna take this boar form? Nobody likes the boar form. Boar is a very ugly looking an animal, and which not most of the people don't like. Can say this, call it as a haram. But and we are worshipping him. So why? Similarly, fish incarnation also. Yeah. So these things, when you are able to accept all of them as the truth, that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. Similarly, in the same way, all happiness and distress also that's coming to us. if you are able to accept it in the same way. Because that is also Brahmanubhavam. Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam is taking all these different forms, incarnations. Is it not? Malsya Kurmam, Varaham, Narasimham, all these are Sachidananda Brahmam's different forms. In the same way, all emotions and thoughts, what is coming inside, is also coming with the approval of that Antaryami, Sachidananda Brahmam. And actually, they are also Sachidananda Brahmam's manifestation in different forms. So if you are able to accept it like that, knowing that they are all Sachidananda Brahmam, then it won't bother you anymore. This sukham, dukkham, happiness and distress, heat and cold, all these things, right? And then it becomes samadhi state. Then it becomes samadhi state. You know, Krishna spoke to Uddhava, Uddhava, you have to see in everyone Antaryami. He mentioned that, is it not? Visarjas mayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehim praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandala ghogaram. Yeah? And the verse before that, Brahmani arke spilinge akrure krurege jeva samadruk pandito madha. What does it all mean? It means this, that Brahman is present. Ideally, what they are trying to do is to elevate our way of thinking that actually only Brahman is present here in everything. That's called Brahmanubhava. Sachidananda Brahmam presence. Everything is Sachidananda Brahmam. If we can come to that realization, these dualities won't affect you at all after that. Yeah? So, so that's why. So, only if you know this tattvam, then only you can properly explain this verse. This matra sparshastu kaundeya. If otherwise, if you tell people, you have to see heat and cold equally, they will not accept it. But you have to know this tattvam before that. Only then you can explain this verse properly, right? Otherwise we will say, if everything is Brahmam, and if that realization is built up inside, then gradually what will happen is, in your daily life also, this realization of Brahmam will penetrate into that. So, and that anubhavam, that rasanubhavam, once that comes, then particularly for any particular thing, you don't have to run around anymore. Because you start realizing, there is nothing in this world I need, really, for living in this world, right? And wherever you are put into, you are having this anubhavam, rasanubhavam inside, what you have realized inside. Therefore, ragadvesham will leave you. Once this brahmanubhavam comes, ragadvesham completely gets wiped out from inside. Ragadvesham completely gets wiped out. And then that shanti comes, anandam comes, and that is why, as a first step in spiritual life, Krishna has spoken this verse. Matra sparshastu kaundeya. It's a beautiful verse and its impact on the whole Bhagavad Gita is very high. People ask this question that this verse, is it so important? They say, it is very important verse. It is very important verse, right? So, he's told us that heat and cold, happiness and distress, ignore it. As much as possible, ignore it. If it is unbearable, you may have to do something. But develop that nature of tolerating it, rather than finding solution for it. As much as possible, right? Everyone is in different states of this tolerance level, right? Different people have different levels of tolerance. Who can survive that? Some people, when you see, you get shock, people, how they live in this world. And you're working so hard and you need so much to live in this world. But when you look at some of the people, they sleep when all the shops are closed, they'll go and sleep in front of the shop. And the only light they get is the street light. And morning before the shopkeeper comes and opens the shop, he has to get up and walk out from there. And then he will go to some riverside where he has to go to a toilet and then he will wash himself in the river and that's how he cleans himself. After that, he will go and look for some little work here and there. And whatever little money he gets it, he'll buy some food. And there are people living like that. When you see that, and you see yourself, what kind of life we are leading, we think that there's a long way to go, because that person is able to accept very little from this world and able to maintain himself. Why? Because this verse is working for him. Matraspraśyastu Kaundeya. He is not studied Bhagavad Gita, but in practical life he has brought insight and he has become successful. He is more a good candidate for spiritual life than one who is living in a palace in Mayfair. He won't understand this. This all looks very literally verses only for him. He won't understand that. That's why in this chapter what you will find is, your practical life is closely connected with this chapter. How you run your daily life, it's connected with this chapter. Right? So having said that, Krishna is saying here, if you are not affected by all these things, then the Brahmanubhavam comes inside. That means is you are matured. Pakvam. You are matured for spiritual life. That is what this verse is proving to us. If this verse has been gone inside us and it has become in our life reality properly, then that means you are matured for spiritual life. Otherwise you are not. That's the next verse. You see the next verse? What he's saying here? They are very, very important verses. Really talking about spiritual life now. Yeah. He's saying here that the Yamhina Vyadayandede Purusham Purusharshapa Samadukha Sukham Diram Somradatvaya Kalpade. Again bringing it back. Samadukha Sukham Diram Somradatvaya Kalpade. He is saying the same thing what he said. This Sukham Dukham, what is coming, if one has learned how to handle it, he is Dhira, Krishna says. Samadukha Sukham Dhiram Somradatvaya Kalpade. Right? One who is able to handle Sukham Dukham, equally such a person, and it does not disturb him or doesn't get disturbed by that, he is qualified for liberation, Krishna says. Somradatvaya Kalpade. Such a person is ready for liberation. Right? Yahi Purusham Samadukha Samam Same Dukha Same Yasidam Samadukha Samam. So, one who is able to come to that level of sukham dukham samam, right? So, such a dhira purusha, he says here, sama dukha sukham dhiram, dhira purusha, right? A person who is not affected by the dvandvam, these dualities, right? Where is these disturbances come? These disturbances come in the mind. Is it not? When suffering comes or happiness comes, where does it come? In the mind, right? What is that dundvam? Dundvam means these things. The sukham, dukham. That is dundvam. Similarly, heat and cold, dundvam. If these two things, sukha, dukham, Sukadukam covers everything, isn't it? Sukadukam covers everything. All your daily experiences are sukham or dukham only, is it not? Either it is sukham or it is dukham. Then added to that, the prakriti gives you heat and cold as well. So if all these things gets inside in the form of raga dvesham, that's what happens. When sukham comes, ragam. When dukkham comes, dvesham. Similarly, when now everybody is cursing, it's too hot. It's too hot. When is it going to get cooler weather? Old people are saying like that. Now, it's too much. It's too hot, they say. They're not seeing the heat yet. So, they'll say like that. And then when it gets very cold, we are all saying, oh, it's too freezing. It's no heat anyway. Krishna says this, that when you have become free from this problem, right? So, What it has done is, it created ragadvesham inside, right? Suppose you like heat, ragam for the heat. Suppose you hate cold, dvesham for the cold. Similarly, all other different types of sukham dukham, it gets inside and it creates ragadvesham. So, this verse is closely connected with ragadvesham, basically, right? So, just like another example, you are hearing Bhagavad Gita with a lot of shanti inside. Yeah, carefully you are listening to it and thinking about it. Right? When you leave this room and you go out, And everything what you have heard now will be gone. We know that. Everybody knows that. Again, mind will come back. Now, you feel that there is something different than normal life what you live in this world. Is it not? When you hear all this from Krishna, you get this impression that Krishna has a point in what he is saying, and it makes more sense. And because we accept Krishna's instructions wholeheartedly, we value Krishna's instructions and Bhagavad Gita also, therefore we can start thinking, this makes sense, right? And then after hearing, and there is some shanti now. But when you go out of this room, and when the Prakriti starts its work from outside, right, what you have to do is, you will see the changes happening inside. The mind starts working straight away. All its effect will come from the world outside. So what you should do is, you go into the room and shut down the room, and why the mind has moved, start thinking about it, right? Something that happened outside has created a wave inside, right? And whatever happened outside, we don't know what happened. Something happened outside that created a wave inside, and that you have accepted it either with attachment or with hate. This is what has happened. Something happened outside, that is, we have accepted it, and when you accepted that, it has created either an attachment or a hate towards that, right? So, with that, the shanti what you got here has gone. And that is what Krishna is talking about, dundum. Dundum created this, and you can see that this dundum has caused this problem. And how can one avoid this, right? That movement inside, the only way to become free from that is ekadarshanam, to see that oneness in everything. There is only one vastu here, there is not many things, right? So you got to deal with that oneness. This is Advaitam. Advaitam is saying that till you realize that there is only one thing there, right? That is why he said, ekam evam adyudiyam brahmam. Famous Upanishads statement, ekam evam adyudiyam brahmam, right? Neha nanasti kinchana, many things don't exist here. Upanishad is saying this. Ekam evam adyudiyam brahmam neha nanasti kinchana. And when you start seeing this world completely as a manifestation of Ishvara, Ishvara Swarupam, and all the experiences from the world also as Ishvara Anubhavam, if you are accepting like that, that's with that understanding, you should do your upasana. That is Advaita Upasana. Advaita Upasana is this. Accepting this whole creation is Krishna's manifestations. And all the happiness and distress that's coming from here is also Krishna's manifestations. In that way, if you are able to accept it, then there will be shanti inside. You can do your upasana properly. Otherwise, you can't do the upasana. Suppose you are suddenly hit by a heavy distress in life, you will give up beach bags, chanting everything, you'll wait for some time till you become free from your distress. No, that shouldn't happen. That's what Krishna is saying. You have to learn how to bring this mind in a state where you can do upasana all the time, unaffected by that. So, when start realizing that this ekam evam adyudiyam brahmam, neha anasti kinchana, nothing else exists here. With that realization, you should continue that all experiences coming from the world also, you are able to accept it in that way, and then you should do the upasana in that way. So, so this upasana first. Sarvam kalidam brahmam. Another statement. Upanishad only saying this. Upanishad is purely Advaita Vedantam it is. Sarvam khalidam brahmam, right? Shantam upasida, Vedam says, Jagat is whole Brahmamayam. And it has come from Brahmam, it is says in Brahmam, and finally it goes back to Brahmam. Gradually, this, what will happen is, if one follows this seriously, then this Namarupam, what we are creating this problem for us, Namarupam, that darshanam will leave us. We won't start seeing people based on the name and form anymore after that. And when that happens, this movement of the mind will stop at that time, right? And if that stops, then sukham dukham won't happen anymore, disturb insight, right? So that is what he is saying here, that yamkhinav vyadhayandiyate purusham purusharshava sama dukkha sukham dhiram somrdatvaya kalpade. Somrdatvaya kalpade. He is saying here, he is called a dhira, one who has cultivated this, right? Because when sukham dukham comes, he is samam. When sukham dukham comes, he is samam, equal, right? And samatvam yogam uchyade, Krishna is saying. This samam nature inside us, that is yoga process. That is yogam, right? Samatvam is yogam. So, it is for this purpose, for this samatvam, that Buddha wanted this. It is for this samatvam Buddha worked very hard, right? And this samatvam, Acharya Swamiji calls it as Jivan Mukti. And in Bhagavadam, how many places Krishna talks about samatvam? Is it not? Began with that Uddhava, first thing what did he say? Tundu sarvam varityajya sneham sajana bandhushu maya aveshamana samyak samadrik. That samatvam has to come. Vijarasvagam. Krishna says, if samatvam has come, you can wander around in this world anywhere. You won't be affected by the world. Yeah. So, that samatvam is such an important thing. If samatvam is not there, then very difficult to go. You can do a lot of rituals and a lot of other things, but samatvam is important, right? That samatvam is liberated state, samadarshitvam. That shanti which comes from that samatvam, purnada, wholeness. And whether there is happiness or distress, that samatvam won't go. Samatvam will still remain. That person who is stationed in that samatvam, Krishna is saying, he is dhira. He is dhira. So that means he is ready for immortality. Amrudatvam. That's what he is saying there. Samadukha sukham dhiram somrudatvaya kalpade. He is ready for immortality, he says there, right? So, after saying that, due to that, inside him, ananda rupam, he will start experiencing the bliss inside. Amradasya rupam will come to him, just like a small flower is opening up, a bud, when it opens up as a flower. Similarly, Krishna says here that the truth, which is the Antaryami inside, that truth, he will start its experience inside. He will get that clarity from inside, right? And that is what Krishna is talking about here, right? This is a symptom of Sthita Prajnatvam, which he is going to talk about later, right? Now, the next verse in the Bhagavadam, in the Bhagavad Gita, is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. We say, Sarvadharman Paritijya and all that, Sarvadharman Paritijya is important, but that is at a particular stage he is saying this. But when one opens Bhagavad Gita first time, and where is Krishna bringing this forth in front of us? It is from this verse. Remember yesterday what I mentioned? Rishis were not looking for God. Rishis were looking for truth. What is the truth in this whole thing? Everything is changing in this world. And everything is changing means what? There must be something which is behind it, which is not changing. Only then these things can happen. Because suppose everything is changing, it cannot happen unless there is something behind it, some truth behind it, which is allowing these changes to happen. That is the principle. Rishi's conclusion is that. That is what this next verse says. And that is what Krishna is saying. Rishis have supported this. Tattva darshitvam. Jnaninas ubhayorve drishtandam tanayor tattva darshivi. Krishna is saying the rishis are absolutely perfect on this. Their realization is this, and that's what he's going to talk about it. Right? So, many important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. We won't say that this is the only verse. So many other verses as well. But comparatively, this one is really important verse. And because this is directing you to the truth, straight to the truth. This verse. straight to the truth, it is pointing out to you. So that is this next verse, what we are going to look at now. Yeah. So, na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayo arabi drishtuandam, stanayor tattva darshibhi, stanayor tattva darshibhi. There is a bhashyam on this running the 20 pages. That's how important this verse is. So, both from Shruti and Smriti, Ajaya Swami has quoted Upanishads also, and also from the Smriti, to support this principle, what is spoken in this verse. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Right? So, yeah. So the two verses before what we have seen, that is the 14th and the 15th verses. Yeah, matras prashastu kaundeya, shidoshna sukadukhada, agama payino anityam tam tidikshastu bharada. That verse, and yamhina vyadhyandiyade purusham purusharshaba samadukha sukham dhiram somradatvaya kalpade. Those two verses, right? Basically is telling us how to deal with the duality. Isn't it? How to deal with duality, right? So, first Krishna has told us, you have to learn the art, how to transcend duality. Duality is a problem. Suppose you get affected by duality, that means that ragadvesham is inside. And if there is ragadvesham inside, there is no point in talking about Siddha Prajnatvam. All other things. It has no value then. Because there is so much ragadvesham inside. So these verses, before that, these two verses, is verses Krishna has spoken, how to transcend duality. How to transcend duality, right? The verse before that, Dehinosmin Yatha Dehi, that famous verse, right? He has told us, to show to us that this relation connection with the Dehi and Deham is not real. Remember that? I am not this body, body is not mine, and body is not for enjoyment. The three principles, we explained that in detail, didn't we? So, what was it trying to say? That actually there is no connection with me and the body. That is the truth. Truth is that. But due to my avidya inside, I feel the connection. And I am suffering from that. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, there is no connection between Dehi and Deham. Yeah? So that connection, what you are feeling, is not real, he said. Right? But why? Because Deham has got three states. Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. Similarly, Deham has got problems like, different states of life, like childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, disease, death and all these kind of things. They are all there for the Deham only, not for the Dehi, right? Apart from that, Deham takes birth and Deham grows up and Deham goes through that six changes, what Prahlada has spoken. You see, if you study this chapter seriously, right, it's such a solid feeling it gives inside of what Krishna has spoken. So strongly supported by Bhagavatam, Upanishads, everything, and even Vedanta Sutram. All based on this chapter only, basically. That is why the second chapter has shocked many people after studying the second chapter. I mentioned yesterday, Jnanananda Saraswati, Shivananda Saraswati's one close associate, he said he reads the second chapter every day. Every single day, he said. He relishes it so much. He wrote a lot of commentaries on Upanishads, all the major 10 Upanishads. And then he wrote another book called Adhyatma Vijnana Kosham, all the spiritual terminology. He did a lot of writing work, he did. A sannyasi, a great sannyasi he was. And he is saying that this chapter keeps him going in the spiritual path. Because it's so convincing, the way it has been presented, Krishna has presented. And how Krishna has brought together all the knowledge in the Upanishads, all the knowledge of the Brahma Sutram and everything in a such a nice way that he said he enjoys reading it and thinking about it all the time. Yeah. So Deham has got this problem. Deham goes through the three states, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. Similarly, Deham and Dehi has no connection. Between Dehi and Deham, there is no connection. Deham has got this problem, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, disease, death and all that. Right? And Deham has got that when you tell people about Dehi, they will start imagining about it something. That's normal, isn't it? If you say about Deham, they will understand very easily. But if you tell them about Dehi, they will get confused. What's this Dehi all about? They haven't got a clue about this Dehi. All they know is Deham only, right? So, so therefore, if you tell about Dehi, Atma, Soul, Prajna, Jnapti, Sutratma and all that, mind cannot connect with it. Mind is thinking about what's all this about? Something, something, anyway he's saying it, so it must be there something. People will think like that. Because he's saying it, so it should be there something, or it is written in the book. More than that, he doesn't feel any connection with any of these things. Whether it is Jnapti, that is a problem in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. You know all the pure devotees, like Muchukunda and all that, they will use this word very freely. Tam Jnapti Matram, he's saying that, isn't it? Is it not? Muchukunda Stuti. And similarly, Markandeya also says. So when they say all these things, you start thinking, what's he talking about? Because you only know the body, nothing else, you see. So that's where. So you start imagining then, what could it be? What would it be like, this thing called Dehi? What's it like, right? So in order to remove that imagination from inside us, right, Krishna separated them and told us that me and the body. He put it like that. That Dehi is me. At least that way you can somewhat connect with it. Because the experience of me, I have it. My existence, isn't it? So he is saying, Krishna is saying, instead of saying Dehi and Deham, he is saying, Deham you understand easily, but Dehi is you. He put it in front of us like that. So that you don't get confused anymore what Dehi means. Dehi is you. Dehi is you, right? So in other words, Dehi is the proprietor of Deham. Yeah? So, like just like this, this cloth is my cloth, but I am not the cloth. In the same way, the connection between me and this cloth, it is the same way between me and the body. Between me and the body. Similarly, this book is mine, but I am not the book, right? And this is my hand is not me, right? Same thing with the leg. This is my leg, but I am not the leg, right? So, if you cut it off, these hands, legs, all these things, doesn't mind that I am finished. I will exist. Why? Bodham is still there. Bodham will exist, right? And I don't feel, even if you've taken out some parts of my body, cut it off, I don't feel that my Bodham or my awareness has reduced. It is still in full as it is now. Bodham doesn't get reduced by cutting rid of parts of the body, it doesn't happen, right? So, so even if you have taken out a part of the body, not even 1%, as far as my awareness, Bodham is concerned, has gone, right? So, without any change in the Vyakti Bodham means this consciousness of as person, as individual, that Bodham, awareness of my existence, right? Even if my hands and legs goes away, it will still remain. And that is why they are saying that this hands, legs, head and all that actually has no connection with me. Dehi and Deham practically has no connection. Yeah. So, because Dehi is a Spurti. It is called a Spurti. Another word in the Upanishad. Spurti. Spurti means it is that Bodham inside. Bodha Spurti it is called. The Bodham inside, right? And even if my head goes away, that Spurti is not affected. Spurti is not affected. So, therefore, yogis will say, all these are extra fitting, he says, on me. The head, the hands, legs, they are all extra fitting on me. They are all extra fitting on me, right? And that's what they say. What is the proof? Because they're saying this yoga anubhavam, when we realize it at the end, their yogi, Ashtanga yogis will say, it happens at Sahasrara. This is called Sahasrara. This Murdhava. That's called Sahasrara Padmam. You know, if you look at it from the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, this is called Sahasrara Padmam. Remember different chakras? Muladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, like that, Ajna, and finally comes Sahasrara, Sahasrara Chakram, right? What Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali will say is this, from Muladharam, which is the lowest point, from there Kundalini starts rising. And finally, when it reaches Sahasraram, it has completed the journey, and that means you are liberated. This is an important matter, because where Jnana Yogam and Ashtanga Yogam, where they meet each other, is here. How it happens? When Kundalini gets here, in the Sahasraram point, what they will say is, it will break open here, the skull, and it will go. Atma will leave, Kundalini will leave, Atma will leave from inside, right? So, that means yoga anubhavam will happen in the Sahasraram, right? When they discussed with Maharshi said that no, it is not complete yet, he said. Because from Sahasraram, what will happen is, that power, Kundalini power, it will come back to Hrit again, and it will disappear there, in the Hrit. Because that is why they say, Andaryami is here, not here. Andaryami is here. And he gave this example. You know who asked this question? Kavyagandaka Nabadi asked this question. He was a yogi as well. He had a highly learned person in the Upanishads and Shastram. Highly intelligent person. And he was asking a Maharshi about this. And Maharshi told him that the proof of that is, when a person is sitting and he sleeps, right? Suddenly you see his head falling. Why does the head fall? He asked Kavyagandaka Nabadi. The reason why the head falls is that the Chaitanyam has come out from the head and he has gone back to its source, right? So, if this is the place of Atma, it won't fall. But the fact that head is falling is saying the Atma Sthanam is not here. Instead, because it, when the Atma came out, it has become Jadam and it fell. Yeah? So, that is the reason head falls off like this while falling asleep, right? Which means that Atma has gone back to its original place, Andaryami here. Hrit, Hrithanam. Yeah? Hrit Karna. What Krishna says that, isn't it? Hrit Karna. Connection between Hrit. So, Upanishads and Puranams and everyone will accept that this is the location of the Andaryami. So, the reason, Maharshi is saying to Kavyagandaka Nabadi, he told him that if the head has fallen, what that shows is that the Atma has gone back to the Andaryami's original location. That's why the head falls. Because Chaitanyam has left that part of the head. Part of the head, right? And if head was the Atma Sthanam, it was the location of the Atma, then it should not fall. Because if Atma is present there, it should not fall. But Atma is temporarily withdrawn from there. And because it has become Jadam at that time, that's why the head fell, right? And then, after some time, after it has fallen like this, suddenly he wakes up like this. You've seen that in the train when people travel. Two passengers are sitting like that from Radlett to King's Cross. They're sitting next to each other. They've got in suit and tie and all that. And in the, they've got their bag also ready for the day's work. The newspaper, and one falls onto the net, other one's shoulder. One falls onto the next one's shoulder. Then he pushes him back. Then he falls back again. Like this drama, you can see that all the time, right? So, after some time, he wakes up. As soon as King's Cross comes, he wakes up. Yep. Suddenly he wakes up from there, right? Why did that happen? Because when that message came from the heart, to wake up, you woke up from that straight away. So connection, when the connection was broken, the head fell. When the connection was re-established, the head got up. That's why he wakes up in King's Cross. You can go into one day, try, I'm sure you, people who have traveled by tube have noticed all these things. I also noticed while working, I was going from Raleigh to King's Cross every day. And every day it used to be the same story. People would be sitting and going this way, that way, and finally drop down. Because they are thinking that at least I get 20 minutes to sleep. That's what keeps him happy. This 20 minutes from Radley to King's Cross gives him some happiness. He's not thinking about the head falling is due to Atma left gone back to the heart or anything. He's not thinking that. Yeah. So from heart, from Antaryami, comes all this energy to the different body, right? Not from the head. Not from the head. And similarly, in war, sometimes they cut off the head of a soldier. But the remaining part, which we call it as kabandham, will start doing this for some time. It will keep doing that, right? And even though there is no head, the body will still do this. A kind of a, what do you say, a sort of, you know, like the fish out of the water, in the same way, it will do this, right? So, so head is not me, hands and legs are not me, nothing is me. Then you look at this cardiac surgery, you talk to the surgeons, they'll tell you about this. When they do this cardiac surgery, they will stop the heart for some time, don't they? They have that mechanism of doing that. And after surgery is over, they will make the heart to start working again. You remember sometimes people collapse and then they got this defibrillator or something, what they call it, to pump it and bring them back to work again, heart again, right? So, when the heart stopped pumping, if normally you are expected to have dead with that time, right? And then when they come back, because prarabdham is not finished, he has to come back. So that is why defibrillator is working. What is it called, defibrillator, isn't it? That thing. It's installed on the pub, it's installed in few places. When old people collapse, to use it for, to pump them up and bring it back. Sometimes they don't come back, they go. Once for all. So this thing is saying here that when, if they come back, after the heart has stopped, when they come back, you ask them, what did you feel when the heart was stopped? He said, it was just like a good sleep, he says. The man, when he comes back, right? So people who had a lot of operations, you ask them, when they had full anesthetic, they didn't know anything what has happened. And when they come back slowly afterwards, they'll call you by name and bring you back from the after the surgery, right? Bring you back anesthetics and others. And once you come back, they are happy. If you don't come back, then it's a big problem. Then you're gone then. Then you're not coming back again anymore. So when you come back, if you ask them, what's your state at that time? You know what they do? You must have seen this. They'll inject somewhere here, that thing, medicine for anesthetics, right? And slowly you'll go into it, that state. You left the world then. You're gone from the world, right? I'm gone from the world. And then after the operation, some surgery takes 6, 10, 12, 15 hours and all that. After that, you'll come back again, woken up. And then you are woken up from that, you start thinking that, where was I? You feel as though it was a very nice experience, that nothing was affecting you. You are somewhere which you don't know where you are, right? You left your body, and whole body was lying there, everything was there, but you had no connection with that body at that time, whole time, when that anesthetic was working, right? So, not only that, what to talk about the body? What about the other things? Where is your house then? Where is your bank balance then? All other things also, you had no knowledge of it in that situation, right? So Krishna is saying, Dehi is that. Who has left you? Who has left? That's Dehi. To make us understand what Dehi is. This Dehi Deham, Krishna will always say this, Dehi Deham, right? So Dehi is staying in the Deham, that's all. For some period of time, that's called a life. For a certain period of time, Dehi has decided to stay in one form, in one particular body, and that's called a life, nothing else, right? So, so it is this Dehi Deham is what Krishna is talking about, Kshetram Kshetrajna, later on, in the 13th chapter. So, Dehi Deham is what Krishna is talking about, Kshetram Kshetrajna also, the same thing. To clearly distance these two things, Dehi and Deham, Kshetram and Kshetrajna, in that way, right? Because this connection between, just see the power of avidya here, this connection between Kshetram and Kshetrajna, or Dehi and Deham, Krishna is making a statement here, is purely coming from avidya. Purely coming from avidya it is. Which one? This connection what we are feeling with this body, the real we, feeling this connection with the body, is coming from avidya. Krishna says, avidya kalpidam. It is saying like that, right? So this connection, Kshetram Kshetrajna also, is coming from avidya, right? And once Krishna says, once you have realized it in your awareness in Bodham, that these two are separate things, then your knowledge is complete. Krishna is saying this. This knowledge is complete. So in this chapter, Krishna will look at it from different angles to make us understand so many things about spiritual life. Like we discussed this morning, that first topic, dvandvam, problem with dvandvam, right? So dvandvam is one problem. You have to deal with it. The way Krishna has spoken about it, dvandvam, you have to handle it that way. Then dehi-deham connection, which is coming from avidya, how to deal with that? That is what Krishna is going to start now talking about it. That's that next verse. See, Dehi Deham Bandham is also avidya. Avidya kalpidam it is. It's not real. Krishna is stressing that point. It is avidya kalpidam. Out of our avidya ignorance it's coming that. And that has to be dealt. That's another step in the spiritual path. Yeah. So he's saying here that he mentioned there that Kshetram Kshetrajnayor Jnanam Yatal Jnanam Matam Mama. You remember? Kshetrajnam sarva kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharada kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. Krishna gave a very definite decision there. Kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. That's my opinion, he said there, right? So here Deham has got this problem. What? Birth, growth, decay, death, changes, all these kind of things, right? And so, if this is the nature of the body, why do you feel so distressed about when that body disappears? This is question. Krishna is asking Arjuna that this body is nature is that. That's how it is designed. It is designed like that. It will take birth, it will start growing up, it will exist like that, it will start creating byproducts, then it will start slowly, deterioration will start, and then the decay and the death will happen. And that is the way it is designed. And when that's happening, why do you have to be distressed about that? He says. And that's what he's asking. Say a child is born, and after 10 years, if he remains like that, would you be happy? Suppose somebody, a baby is born, and even after 10 years, he remains exactly like that. Then you will start be worrying about it. What has gone wrong now? So you want that change to happen. Yeah? So, so for that, Kaumaram has to come, the next stage. And then in Kaumaram, if you remain like that, you will say, he's not changing. You'll start saying, oh, is he mentally retarded? You'll start looking at the child in that way. Right? So that means Yavanam has to come. Youth has to come. And then after Yavanam comes, youth comes, about 50 or so, around 50, you start acting like you're a yamanam forever, then the whole thing becomes a problem. When you get to the age of 50 and you start thinking, I'm still a young man, and in that way, if you start acting like that, people will make fun of you. Yeah? So, at that point, vardhakyam has to come. Old age has to come. Right? Similarly, Krishna is saying, in the same way, death is a relief at the end of this vardhakyam, old age. It is a relief, Krishna says. Why you take this death in that way? As though it's a very disaster going to happen. No. It is a relief for you, like when you change from baby level. If it doesn't change to boyhood, childhood to boyhood, you get upset. Similarly, from boyhood to youthhood, if it changes, you get upset. From youthhood to old age, when it changes, you try to fight against it. But Krishna is saying, no, that is not your way. You're not the one who I'm going to make that decision. Prakriti will make the decision. When the time is right, from youthhood to old age, it will change. And change must happen. And similarly, at the end, from old age, you get an escape further, and that is death. You have to see the death in that way. That is Krishna's point here. Yeah? So, death is a big relief at that time. When that old age comes and hits you, and body becomes such a burden on yourself, can't able to look after that. So, at that time, the jiva wants to escape from the body. Sincerely, it wants to leave the body. And a desire comes inside for the jiva to quit the body, right? We get fearful of death because we are thinking about it in advance and we become fearful of the death, right? But at the time of death, you are not frightened. You are happy to go. This is everyone's experience, it is. But because we think about it before and we are looking, we take all the insurance available and we make all the best doctors and best hospitals and everything, we look somehow or the other, we can say all this is that madness before that, what we do. It has no meaning practically. So he's saying here that the when that stage has come, the jiva will feel why death hasn't come. And sometimes people, you'll see in families, when there are old people living in the family members who have to look after that old person, they also feel he should go. It's better for him and it's better for us. They will talk sometimes. They won't say it to him directly because it may be, they don't want to offend him. But among the family members, they will say this. That it's good for him to leave the body now, rather than staying in this world. Even people who are not in that body feels that. Outside, right? So, and at that time, where is that thought coming from? The jiva who is in that body, and he feels at that time, I want to quit the body himself. That knowledge comes from Antaryami. Krishna is saying that. Antaryami from inside is telling that jiva that I should leave this body. In other words, Antaryami creates a desire in him to leave the body at that stage. Creates a desire in him to leave the body. And Krishna is saying here that dhiras, therefore, do not get frightened about death, thinking about death, right? While you are living in this world, you have got these problems. The sukham is there, dukham is there, and shitam, ushnam, sukham, dukham, all these things. So, therefore, he's saying here that when all these things are happening, the way to deal with that is titiksha. Way to deal with that is titiksha, he said, right? So, therefore, he's telling strongly to cultivate this quality called tiriksha. Called tiriksha. So, for anyone to understand Vedantam, what is spoken in the Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, or in the Upanishads. The first qualification is this titiksha. This titiksha, right? And as we have seen before, Vivega Chudamani also, in the very beginning itself, it says, Sahanam, Sarva Dukhanam, Apradigara Purvagam, Chinda, Vilabarahidam, Sa Titiksha Nigadyade, right? Whatever distress comes in life, accepting that without any feeling of revenge. Some people may give you a lot of trouble in this world, and you may start thinking, why he has turned against me like this, giving me so much problems in my life. They're saying that you have to accept it without any feeling of revenge. Without feeling of revenge. Not only that, not continuously scrutinizing and analyzing that in your mind and lamenting about it, right? And tolerating it without doing any of that. Because no matter what happens, no reaction from inside. No reaction from inside. That all these things are happening and you're feeling distressed about it and suffering from that? No. Completely transcendental to all the problems of this world. That's called titiksha, right? So, if you have this basic knowledge, this is a basic knowledge, which one? This titiksha, right? Whenever problems comes in life, whatever problems comes in life, distress comes in life, you will be able to accept it that it is a reaction of our prarabdha karma, and able to accept it that way, and you won't blame anybody else in this world for that. And otherwise we will say, he is causing this problem, somebody else has caused this problem, things like that. And in Ramayanam, the day coronation was supposed to happen for Ramachandra, right? Suddenly, Mandhara put the spanner. You know the story, everybody knows, right? And the coronation for Ramachandra was such a famous occasion. Whole Ayodhya was waiting for that. Everybody wanted Ramachandra to be the king. Everyone loved him so much. And they wanted him to be the king. And everybody was looking forward to it, right? And suddenly, this happened. You know, in the palace, a lot of discussion happened between Kaikeyi and Dasharatha about it. Dasharatha tried to persuade her. She won't listen. She said Bharata should be installed. Insisted on that. And Dasharatha couldn't do anything about it because he has given a promise to her because of that. Yeah. So, this is all happening inside the palace. These discussions, right? And Mandhara did the gaslighting, set it up on fire with Kaikeyi. She didn't do it intentionally. It was meant to happen that way, right? But people started hating Mandhara for that. So at that time, Lakshmana got so angry because Lakshmana wanted Ramchandra to be the king, right? What did he do? He pulled out his sword and he said that, I am going to lock up Dasharatha, he said. I am going to lock him up, he said. It doesn't matter whether it's my father or whether it's my guru. When old age comes and if they lose their control of their mind, they should be punished. This is Lakshmana's words. Lakshmana is saying this to Ramachandra. That it doesn't matter whether it's guru or it's my father, it doesn't matter. I'm going to lock him up now. Dasharatha, he said, right? So, and he also said, he pulled out the sword to kill Kaikeyi, right? Rama says to Lakshmana at that time, Lakshmana, I will tell you the secret of this life, he said. A great secret of this life, right? I'll tell you that. And, and listen to this carefully, he said. And that is a famous Lakshmanopadesham in Ramayana. Instructions to Lakshmana from Ramachandra, right? These things are put in Ramayanam through the stories. It's for us. It's not for Lakshmana. Lakshmana knows what he is doing. But through Lakshmana and Ramachandra's conversation, Ramachandra telling us the secret of life, yeah? He's saying to us, right? He says that for some time in life, life will go very smoothly. Everything will be very happy stage in life, right? Suddenly, totally unexpected, something will happen in life, right? And sometimes it can happen in such a way, some disaster, which you cannot handle it. It was such a powerful experience, or you have been hit so hard, something in life, right? For example, you are a very healthy person, right? You're living healthy in this world. Suddenly, you get a very heavy disease, like a stroke or a cancer. You look at that person's face. He was happy, he was very healthy, everything. Suddenly, a cancerous growth has come, gone to test it in the hospital, and they confirmed this cancer. And cancer has happened in such a place inside the body that they will tell you, the prognosis that you may live only for 3 months or 6 months. You look at him at that time. The person who was so happy throughout life, very healthy, he felt he was very healthy, but suddenly, unexpectedly, this thing happened. This is one example. There are many other examples. You all know that in life so many things can happen in this way, right? So, when this happens, this one example, whom will you blame? Whom will you blame at that time? Sometimes if it has happened, something else, you will look for somebody to blame about it. To blame about it, right? Different things can happen. Relationship breaking down between family members. Whom will you blame? Whom will you blame? Some relationship has broken down in the family life. Very close relationship, it broke down. Whom will you blame? Right? You will blame the other person. That person will equally blame about you. Right? So, in this way, in life, lot of unexpected things can happen. But, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana at that time, he said, whatever happens like that, you should have the maturity to know that it is the fruition of your previous karma. Lakshmana, advice to Lakshmana from Ramachandra, that if you understand that it is happening due to some karma behind it, that this has happened, and it is on fructification, they call it, of the karma. Purva karma, it's fructification, that's what it is called, right? Now, the astrologers will say the same thing in a different way. You know, astrology and the Upanishad's knowledge are very closely connected. It's very interesting. There were very, very famous astrologers, right? And whatever they say will come true. Nowadays, I don't know, because the science of astrology has changed now. It's a different way, it's done a marketing thing like that. But historically, there were famous astrologers, and they were very successful. But these astrologers, if you go to see them, they won't see you. Because whole morning hours, till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they are busy with Antaryami Upasana. Why? Astrology comes true because of the help of Antaryami only. And that is how whatever they say will come true. So they will see their customers, clients and all that only in the afternoon. There are very, very famous personalities like that. Yeah. So... Ramachandra is saying to Lakshmana, right? No planets are punishing you. No planets are punishing you. According to our prarabdham, it's all kept in the record there. The movement of the planets, right? That's all. So, nowadays they are saying, looking at the DNA, it is possible to say that what kind of disease is likely to happen in the future for a person, right? That possibilities are there, they are saying like that. Anyway, we haven't got that far yet, but from the DNA, a lot of things they are able to say about us, the scientific research work, right? So, in other words, if DNA is also saying like that, what kind of disease is going to happen? Shastram is saying that karmam, what we have done, it's only a question of time how it will come back to us, right? And you should not try to change it. And even if you try to change it, it won't work. It's meant to come, it will come, right? So, therefore, the right thing to do is, when it comes, accept it wholeheartedly, without blaming, complaining about it. This is Ramachandra's advice to Lakshmana in Ramayana. Famous advice to Lakshmana from Ramachandra. He is saying this. So we'll continue after the break. Cheto darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavathu jeevanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamradaswadhanam sarvatna supanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namnamakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smarlina Kala Eda Drishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdeva Midrashamiha Janina Nuragaha Tranarabi Shuni Jaina Tarorabi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhaktirahai Togitvai Ai Nandatanyoja Kinkaram Patidamam Shami Bhavam Budau Krupaya Tavapada Pankajastita Duli Sadrasham Vijindrayam Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgada Rubdhaya Gira Pulagair Nichidam Gadavabu Tavarnamagrahani Bhavishyadi Yugaidam Nimeshena Chachusha Pravishayidam Shunyayam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshava Padaradam Pineshtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yatha Tathava Vidata Tulambado Malpranatha Sunayevana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda. So, planets, they don't punish us. They have nothing against us. According to our prarabdham, that they have the, if there is a relationship with our prarabdham and the movement of the planets. That they know that the prarabdhams, our prarabdham is not controlled by the, prarabdham is controlled by previous karma. But when the prarabdham will fructify, that is known through the movement of the planets. This is astrology. Astrology, right? So, and whatever that has to happen, will happen. Yeah? And you won't be able to turn it upside down, right? So, then what is the option then? What is left is this, that accept it, without crying about it, to the extent possible. I mean, I know everybody is different, right? Just like Ekanath Swami did. That's what Ekanath did, right? Many times, what they did, what happened to Ekanath was, some people became very envious of him. It happened, it was his prarabdham to go through that. So they decided to give trouble to him. Deliberately they did this, right? So they arranged someone to stand on the river bank when he was going to bathe in the Godavari River, Ekanath, right? So when was walking, the other person whom they have organized, you know, a group of people, someone was made to stand there. Nowadays they will do it through the media, but them days it was done like that, this way. So they gave him betel leaf and betel nut, and he chewed all that, and you know how that red thing, what comes out after the betel leaf is eaten, right? And as soon as he was walking towards the river, he spat it on him, right? And he went, without saying one word, he went to the river and bathed and came back. And then he spat at him again, Ekanath. 27 times this happened between Ekanath and this person who did this, right? And 27 times he bathed in the river, right? Ultimately, this person who spat at him, he felt, after all, Antaryami inside told him that this is not the right thing to do, and he felt very bad about it, right? And he offered obeisances to him after spitting 27 times on him, right? So then he asked him, I did this deliberately. How come you didn't get angry about it at all and managed to stay like this? So Ekanath says to him, and I took it like this. By your mercy, I got an opportunity to bathe 27 times Ganga Snanam, he said. Because in Maharashtra, Godavari is their Ganga. So when they bathe in Godavari river, they will say Ganga Snanam. Even though it is in Godavari river, they'll say it is Ganga Snanam. So Ekanath replied, 27 times I had the opportunity for bathing in Ganga, he said. So he says, what is the secret behind that? Ekanath is saying that that what you have spat on me, I can wash it off. Yeah? But suppose if I have developed some hate towards you, that hate is in the form of a dirt inside. I cannot wash it off. This was Ekanath's reply, right? And no matter how many times you spit on me, I can still go and wash it off. But if I have taken another way and started thinking about you in the wrong way, as a revenge towards that, I won't be able to wash that off once it has built up inside, right? So, so Krishna is saying that from this experience of Ekanath is an indication to us how great personalities stuck to this tidiksha strongly, the power of tidiksha, right? In spite of all that, Ekanath was not going to think ill of that person who took it that way, right? So, and that is what Krishna is saying in that 15th verse, yeah? Nam yam hi nav vidhayan yede purusham purushar shabha samadukha sukham dhiram somradatvaya kalpade. When you hear all these things, you think spiritual life is not for me. That will be the first conclusion people will make. Spiritual life is not for me. Krishna says, don't worry like that. You should develop this habit, he says, to make the progress on the spiritual path. Right? So, that person who is not affected by that sukham dukham, not giving him trouble, it is not only Ekanath had this problem. Many, many great personalities had to go through this problem. Every one of them, if you look into their life, you will see that what they had to face in their own life, right? In Maharshi's case, because they are all recorded ones there by the people who visited the ashram, he's saying that in one instance, at that time, in his time, there was no ashram. He was living in the forest, sleeping inside the caves, and walking in that forest all the time. And that's how and it was very hot as well, right? So, them days, there was dacoits also. You know, it's not like today. Everywhere people, there was not many people. Population was very less. And some of them were dacoits who will try to look for, looting somewhere, wherever they can get. Right? So a group of them came to the forest for doing something, whatever they were doing. Right? And they saw him sitting there, Maharshi was sitting there, alone, not doing any trouble to anyone, just sitting there in there. And he was silent as well. And even though he was silent, he kept his eyes open. That's how he was. His eyes were open, but he was silent. Right? And they came up to him and started talking to him. You know how that is in the village, just poking fun with him. They found somebody to have some fun. They came up to him and started talking to him. So Maharshi didn't say anything. He just stayed quiet, right? So when he stayed quiet, you know what they did? They had some green chilies and then they ground it and rubbed it on his body so that he feels the pain. Just to hurt him. Deliberately they did this, right? And then they asked him, are you feeling the burning sensation? You know, there are different types of green chilies, if you have seen them. There are some green chilies which are very big, but there is one smaller one, but they're highly burning. It gives, if it gets inside, you won't take more than one, then you will give up eating at that moment itself. So it was, they grow everywhere freely in the forest and all that. So these people felt that they want to teach him a lesson, so they did this to him, right? So Maharshi says to him, when you rubbed it on me, initially I felt a lot of burning sensation when you have rubbed it on me. And then I started feeling a cooling effect, he said. It is like that when you rub this chili on your body, he says. And I have read it in some Ayurvedic book, Maharshi is telling them, that if you rub this, it is good for the skin. I've heard like that, so thank you for doing that. He's saying to these people who have done this to him, right? In other words, what is this? It is not affecting him. It is not affected him. He was able to take it in this way, accept it, right? So, that is what Krishna is saying is, that nature, right? Yam hi navyathayandiyade, no vyatha inside. Navyathayandiyade. He is, Krishna says, Purusham Purusharshapha. And Samadukha Sukham Dhiram Somradhatvaya Kalpate. Somradhatvaya Kalpate. So, whether Sukham or Dukham, mind is not affected by that. Yeah? So, initially Maharshi was eating once a day. Right, and that too, he has to go begging to people to give some food, and that's what he ate. Right, and this in them time there was no ashram, there was nobody cooking the food, so he has to go out and begging for the food. That was the situation. And then he ate once, he'll go and beg for food, and he'll eat that. And later on, when things got a little different, there were more people started coming. They built an ashram and things like that. Even then, he kept his lifestyle the same way. No change at all, right? So this is what Krishna is saying. A Jivan Mukta will be like that. The changes what happens in the world outside won't affect him. He had one lifestyle and he maintained it throughout, unaffected by the changes, right? So... So, not only Maharshi, Buddha's life also, if you see the same thing, right? These things, why Krishna is saying is, one must do mananam on this. And gradually try to bring this understanding inside. That's the idea behind of saying all this. Krishna knows that it's not that simple for people who are living in the cities and living in all the comforts. For them to say, to behave like this, it will be very difficult. But the idea behind saying all this thing is to take it inside, reflect on that mananam, and gradually absorb it as much as one could, right? And if Bhagavad Gita lecture, if it becomes an entertainment, it is waste of time. If Bhagavad Gita lecture, if it simply becomes an entertainment, it is a waste of time, right? You came, heard, and gone home, oh, I liked it. And said, that's it, some comments and then you go on home, right? Some people will come and give you a certificate and then they will go home after saying that. No benefit at all. But if all these things, what Krishna is saying, if you take it inside and do some mananam on that, little by little, mananam is very important for second chapter. No other chapter requires as much mananam as this second chapter is, right? So, and if you take it that way, mananam, and take it inside in that way, that situation is what Krishna is saying. After mananam, what will happen to that person is sthita prajñatvam. Sthita prajñatvam is that stage, at that time what will happen, right? That means you are not moving anymore inside. The movement of the mind has stopped, right? Sukham, dukham, good and bad, everything able to see that equally. Samadarshitvam, samadarshanam, right? So, one who comes to that stage, who gets that balance, such a person, he has matured in spiritual path and he has acquired immortality. Amrutatvam. Somrutatvaya kalpade, he says. Amrutatvaya kalpade, right? So, amrutatvam or immortality is not to be acquired from outside. It has to come from inside. Amrutatvam, that's what he's saying there. So, samadukka sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpade. That amrutatvam has to come from inside, not from outside. Not from outside. And that amrutatvam means that is our swarupam. That's our swarupam, right? Amrutanubhavam. Jnaneshwari, Jnaneshwar says in Jnaneshwari, that's amrutanubhavam, our swarupam, right? So, in Sanskrit language, how much appreciated Acharya Swamiji's commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in Marathi language, Jnaneshwari is appreciated. In Sanskrit language, how Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam is appreciated, commentary. Similarly, in Marathi language, Jnaneshwari, that is the Bhagavad Gita commentary, is recognized, right? So, and similarly, Jnaneshwari has been translated to all other Indian languages as well, in the same way, right? So, so when Jnaneshwari, if you look, if you get a copy of the translation, if you look at that, you'll find there that Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, Jnaneshwar says that it is amrutanubhavam, amrutanubhavam, and that amrutanubhavam is not. Amrutanubhavam is Atmanubhavam. Amrutanubhavam means Atmanubhavam. Anubhavam also Amrutam. Amrutam is Atma. Amrutam, Atma. So, it is not experiencing an object, right? It is actually Swarupa Anubhavam. Anubhavam of your own Swarupam, or identity, right? Means realizing who you are. That's what it is, right? And that's what Krishna is saying here. Somrutatvaya kalpade. That explanation, right? first of all, I have to realize who I am. Actual Swarupam, right? There is two processes for that in Bhagavad Gita, right? One process is that to remove everything what I am not in this package, to take out everything what I am not, right? And second, and then focus all your attention on what you are. That's the process. Remove everything what you are not and focus everything on what you are not. So, this is the two methods, you can say, like that. First one, rejecting everything what I am not. Rejecting everything what I am not. Second one, focusing on what you are. That is Jnana Marga. Focusing on what you are. You know, Jnanam Bhakti, two things, right? People have a lot of misunderstanding about that. They think Bhakti is a very different thing, separate from Jnanam. That's a misunderstanding. Because in Jnanam, what happens is, first you realize the truth, and then you surrender. First you realize the truth, and then you surrender. Because once you have realized it, you have no other option. You will surrender automatically. That is Jnanam. Bhakti means, first you surrender, and then you realize it. That's only difference between Jnanam and Bhakti. There is nothing else. So for Jnanis, what happens? They surrender, they realize it through the Jnanamargam. They realize the truth, and then they go to Bhakti. They surrender then. For devotees, what they do is, they practice bhakti a lot and they surrender first everything And eventually, at the end of their surrender, they realize it. So this is the basic difference between jnanam and bhakti. Right? So, Krishna is saying here that these two processes, what he has spoken, one is that everything what I am not, you reject it. Right? And then other one is, focus all your attention on what you are actually. These are the two ways. Reject everything what you are not, and focus everything on what you are. And Krishna called them as asat and sat. These are the two things, what they are. One is asat, what you are not, and the other one is sat, what actually you are. Right? So sat is permanent thing, what exists. And asat is what is not permanent. The two things, right? So, you know, when people die, what do they say normally? The sat is gone. The sat is gone. And that gets corrupted, and in all various Indian languages, people will say in different ways. In Malayalam, they will say, sat is gone. Tamil also, they say the same thing, more or less the same thing. And it is there in all other languages, the sat is gone from inside. They don't say that he is dead. The sat is gone from inside, right? So, in other words, the essence is gone. The essence is gone, right? So, asat is this body. Sat is the atma. Sat is the atma. Asat is the body. So, this sat, asat, that differentiation like that, breaking it up like that, sat and asat, that is the next verse. Breaking it up as sat and asat. And it is the most important words in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. So what is he saying? Nasato vidyade bhavam. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorabhi drishvandam sanayor tato darshivi. That's where the whole Bhagavad Gita begins on this verse. This verse has such an impact on the whole book. This verse has such an impact on the whole book. That Krishna is saying, this is what principle. The principle is this. This you can't change. This is established truth. Established truth it is. By realized souls. They have confirmed it. So I don't need anybody's, Krishna says, I don't need anybody's certification. It's already confirmed. It's an established thing. What is that? Ubhayorabhi drishtvandam sanayor tattva darshavi nasato vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha na bhavo vidyade sadha. And he said here that sanayor tattva darshavi, tattva darshis have confirmed that. Whenever tattva-jnanam comes, Krishna won't say, it is my opinion. He will say, it is confirmed by the great rishis. That means, it is fully authenticated. Do you remember when he has to talk about jnanina tattva-darshina, he said. When? Fourth chapter. Oh, tadvidhi-pranivadena. That verse. There, in these two instances, Krishna has brought this tattva-darshanam very strongly. Tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasthena sevaya ubadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina, he said. Not only they are jnanis, they are tattva darshis, he says. That stress is on the tattva darshi because they know the truth and you don't have to question anymore. They have realized the truth, right? So it is on that basis it's spoken. And who are these tattva darshi? And that is mentioned in this Bhashyam also, who these tattva darshis are. That the tad idi sarva namaha sarvam cha brahmam tasya nama tad idi tad bhavaha tattvam brahmano yadhatmyam tad drashtam shilam yesham te tattva darshinaha tai tattva darshibihi. Right? So, brahmam is the truth. Brahmam is the truth, right? We are people who are only seeing the world. We don't see Brahma. We see the world, isn't it? So, we are called Prapancha Darshis or Loka Darshis. Tattva Darshi is the opposite to that. We are Prapancha Darshi or Loka Darshi. What is a Loka Darshi? Loka Darshi means Veda Darshi. You know what that means? Veda Darshi means you are seeing differences only. When you see someone, you will say, oh, he is different than the other person. We will immediately make it a statement like that. We have only know that, we don't know anything else. Everything we will look at it and differentiate from one to another, different to another, one to another, in that way. So, Loga Darshi, Beda Darshi, Prabhanja Darshi, they are all same. Which they see differences only. Tattva Darshi, who is Tattva Darshi? Tattva Darshi is, he says, Tattva Drashtam Shilam. Tat Drashtam Shilam. Who is called Tattvadarshi? Tattvadarshi is important to know. Tad drashtam shilam yesham te tattvadarshinaha tai tattvadarshibihi, he says. Right? So, tattva means the truth. Tattva means the truth, right? Or atma, you can say. Atma, the soul, right? In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sura Goswami says to Shaunak Rishi, right? These people are performing yagam there, right? What is the purpose of the yagam? Purpose of the yagam, surgaya logaya. It says the last line. You will see the first chapter first in the first canto. Right? They want to go back to surgam, heavenly planets, and they are performing this yagam. So, at that moment, Suta Goswami, in order to change their bhavam inside, he said like this, what is the goal of life? He asked the question there, right? And that is when he has a big discussion in the second chapter. That second chapter in the first canto is a very important chapter, like here this second chapter. In the Bhagavatam, that second chapter is a very important chapter, right? So there he said that is where that whole discussion happens. Kamasi Indriya Pridir Labho Jiveta Yavada Jivasya Tattva Jityasa. He mentions there, is it not? So this same Tattva Jityasa. Tattvajnanam is important in spiritual life. Without tattvajnanam, if you are acting, you are acting on impulses and based on your vasanas, you are doing something. But with tattvajnanam, if you do it, you are doing it properly. As Krishna has spoken here. With tattvajnanam, if it is done, right? So he is saying there that, so in order to change that attitude of the, Suta Goswami did this to Shaunaka Rishi's other rishis were present in the yagam. Because they were doing it for going back to heaven. That was their goal. He said no. That's how he changes the way of thinking, right? He's saying, out of this dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, the four purushartham, it is called, chaturvidha purushartham, right? So, out of that, kamam, that is the third one. Actually, it's not a purushartham. Purushartha means something what you have to acquire in life. That's purusha. The other three, all the four, one needs in life. Without kamam, it's difficult to live in this world. But kamam will be there. But it is not a purushartham. Who said this? Suta Goswami said this to Shaunaka Rishi and the others who are present there. Yeah. Actually, that kamam is the avidya inside you, Suta Goswami says to them. It is the avidya inside you is in the form of kamam, right? Desires, in other words. That is avidya it is, isn't it? So, desires can never be a purushartham. Never be a purushartham. Because nobody need to tell me that I have to work to fulfill my desires. Because my desires will push me to work for it, to get it, right? So, and suppose I have to go to someone and tell him, oh, you have to desire like this, you have to desire like this. It's not required, right? Because fulfilling desires, a jiva comes to this world only for that, to fulfill his desires. And that means right from the beginning, the vasanas will come out strongly from inside, desires will pop up, and he will start working automatically for that, without anybody pushing for it. Yeah? So, that is how this whole world is running. Vasanas are there inside. He comes with those vasanas. Desires are there. That will push him to go to work and he will start doing his work, whatever it may be, right? So, wherever you look in this world, it is nothing but fulfilling desires. That's all. And running for that. And for that purpose, to acquire wealth, nobody need to, fulfilling desires only you need the money. What else you need the money for? To fulfill the desires. So, to acquire wealth, to fulfill the desires, nobody need to advise us. Everybody knows it, without telling them anything. They will automatically do it. Even if you throw anywhere in the world, he will do it what he needs to do for that, right? And you don't require Vedam for that. You don't require Vedam for that. Right? So what it is saying is that, the reason for saying is that, even if nobody has given him any advice, it will happen. Acquiring wealth and fulfilling desires. These two things, right? So, so no Rishi has to tell us that acquire wealth and enjoy your senses, fulfill all your desires, right? Even if they don't tell us, we will do it. Then why did they say this artham and kamam? See, out of the four, the two middle ones, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. This artham and kamam, the two things in the middle, right, has been spoken there to put a break on that. It is for that purpose they have put into that four. Chaturvidha Purushartham, it is discussed in the Bhagavatam a lot. So these two things, artham and kamam, is brought in between dharmam and moksham only for one reason, that you don't go completely out of control and run after these two things, artham and kamam. In order to put a break on that, the rishis decided, put them in between these two and put some control over that, in order to get some control over that, right? What they are saying is, how did they put that break? Keeping dharmam as the basis and keeping a control on the dharmam, with the help of dharmam, you can have your kama. That's how that break was put on, right? So they didn't say to us, completely give up all kama, all desires, completely. They didn't say. You see, rishis are very practical people. They know ordinary people, what they are like, what we are like. They know that, yeah? So they know, suddenly if you tell them, give up all desires, nobody will listen. Because of that, they brought these two things into the Purushartham. Dharmam and moksham is the important one. But because of this weakness what we have, they realize that the best way to control that, bring it in and keep some check on that, keep some control over that through dharmam, right? Because if you tell people to give it up, it is not possible. Because they know better than us that we all have vasanas inside, right? And as long as these vasanas are inside, if you tell people to give it up, it won't happen, right? Therefore, if you say people, you have to live without any money, that's very difficult, right? And rishis also know that very well, right? So there they decided that in one stroke, you don't do it, but give them some license to practice some fulfillment of the desires. And if you put a complete restriction, the human society will not be able to achieve the goal, which is moksham, right? So with the help of dharmam, you control his vasanas properly and little by little remove those vasanas from inside and create tattva-jnanam inside him first. Tattva-jitnyasa it's called. Tattva-jitnyasa. That's why that second chapter is a beautiful chapter in the Bhagavatam also. Vasandita tattva-vidam. Prior to that, Shrinudam sakada krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyandasto hi abhidrani vidinodhi sakhil sadam nashta prayeshu abaddeshu nityam bhagavata savaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir maithi nashtagi edara kama tato rajas tato bhavam kama lobada etseye chedam edir anavidam stidam sattva prasidadi evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Those old verses, you have to look at it. It's a beautiful presentation of how they use the dharmam to put a break on artham and kamam, to control the artham and kamam, right? So, if you do that and control the vasanas in that way, what will happen is, in that person, slowly, this tattva-jitnyasa will come up in him, provided his artha-kamam is controlled by dharmam. If he does like that, right? So once the tattva jitnyasa comes, jitnyasa means that inquisitiveness for knowing what the truth is, tattvam, right? And once that has come, then it's only a question of time, he will achieve the moksha in due course of time, right? So So therefore, if these three things, which one? Dharmam, Artham, Kamam. If these three things are properly managed, then the jiva's chittam will become pure. Chitta Shuddhi will come to him, right? Shuddhama. So, remember this, right? His biological urges. We have biological urges, right? Material body and these material desires, they are a big block in our spiritual realizations. Our biological desires and material desires, they are all a big block in path of realizing the truth, right? So, and Bhartrihari says this. You know what he said about that? He said, these great poets, they have actually spoiled us. Why? Animals, if you look, they don't write poetry, glorify married life, and glorify love life, and things like that. They just, according to their natural urge, they will do things, and they are forgotten with that. Animals. But we, the human beings, what we have done, we made this love life and started glorifying it. All these poets do that, is it not? Love stories and novels and articles and books they have written about that. And they glorify it in such a way that this relationship between man and woman, they glorify it to such an extent, they make dramas out of it. And all kinds of things people do to, there's nothing much substance in that, just to make it pleasing for others, to gratify their senses, they glorify, you know all the love stories in the movies and all that, what does it mean? They make the movies and people enjoy that and seeing that how married life wonderful it is, fantastic, everything going very well, happy family life, and how they live together happily, these things, glorifying it all the time. This is the business poets do. And that comes into our psychic also, and we get trapped into that. Shastram don't agree with all these things. Therefore, Bhartrihari said, these poets and these story writers or novel writers, the damage they have done to the human society is horrible. Why? Animals don't have this problem. They don't write novels and movies, produce and look at it and enjoy family life in that way. It's only the human society does that, right? So, because they gave importance to Kamam, who, the poets and the novelists and all those who have written the big love stories, they all gave importance to Kamam, and it destroyed the progress of a human society in his journey for self-realization. This is what has happened. Otherwise, he's saying, if you don't have this kind of encouragement, the normal life is not such a big problem. But we, most of the society has fallen into this trap. Big movie industry. Everywhere, all the great movies are, and these actors and actresses who have acted in those movies, they have become heroes and heroines. And similarly, all the great poetic literature, given Nobel Prize for that, for the books what they have written, they all glorify these things about Arthagamam, Artham Kamam, right? So, but normal Prakriti in us, our biological requirements are limited. It doesn't have to be glorified. So from Shastram point of view, this glorification like this is creating more impediments for us in self-realization. Arthagamam, right? So otherwise, what we have got is what Prakriti has put inside us. Whatever Prakriti has put inside us, that's there. You can't do anything about it, right? And that will come and it will go in its own way, at its own time, right? So only human being does this. What he has done is, he has brought it into the mind, this whole thing. And brought it to the mind means, what has happened is, it has come to our bhavana mandalam. Yeah? If you, this studying, love stories and novels and poems and all that, what they have written, if they haven't written all that, what would have happened? Whatever the natural urge is there in us, with that it will be over. The desire for sex life and desire for all other things, it will go with that. But if you glorify it, it will become an expanded version of that. And therefore what happened? The mind becomes affected by that and mind becomes stronger from that. Therefore, in order knowing this, what has happened, rishis brought up this thing called dharmam to check that, of this destruction of the mind, or the damage it has done to the mind, right? For that purpose, they installed dharmam there. So, if you live, he says, as a grihastha, but if you live based on the principles of dharmam, and with necessary tapas, what is required along with that, after some time, what will happen is, your vasanas will die out on its own way, right? And once it has died out, all those vasanas, you will start realizing, in all these things, in homely life, family life and all, there is nothing in that to get attached to or to take it seriously. That's a benefit from that. So, householder life, important thing. Householder life is to get rid of that householder vasana inside. Vasanas are there. That is why Prakriti created that situation. We got into this householder business. And that householder business has become a vasana. What Sudha Goswami said to Shavanagrishi and others is, if with the help of dharmam, if a grihastha lives based on dharmam, and with this proper understanding, gradually that vasana will die out in him, right? If you try to build it up, that vasana, right? Through your bhavana, imagination, and through all these big arrangements in the prakriti, like the novels and the movies and all kinds of music also, everything centered around this only, all based on this love, thing called love between man and woman. It is that one which is made glamorous through music, through books, writing novels and books like that, and similarly through dance and other things. In various ways, all you are doing is this man-woman relationship, you are making it enjoyable in one way or the other. Simply that is a fact. Nobody can deny that. Yeah. So if the Rishi, Sudha Goswami is saying to Shavanagrishi and others, if you leave it in a natural way, it won't cause much problems. But because this human society, I've got this thing called the poets and the people who write these things, they have elaborated, exaggerated the whole thing. It has got into the mind of the people, and in your bhavana mandalam, you are started thinking about it. What do you, all these television serials are about? What else is that? Serials are nothing but an expansion of this business only. So naturally, when one is conditioned that way, he will go and sit in front of the serial and he will start seeing this day after day, this serial. And in one day, if the serial doesn't come, he gets very upset with BBC or Channel 4, saying that why did they not show it today, it was due. You see how Bhavana Mandalam gets affected. This is how Bhavana Mandalam gets spoiled. Once the Bhavana Mandalam is spoiled, then it is very difficult to fix it. Therefore, rishis are saying to us, you be extremely careful about your Bhavana Mandalam, what goes inside there. Whatever has gone inside, if it gets increased, it is very difficult to change it later. So, if you have succeeded with the help of dharmam, if you are able to control that Bhavana Mandalam, and then gradually if you have succeeded in that, this question will definitely come inside, what's the purpose of life? It will come automatically, right? And that is called, when you start asking that question within yourself, then it is called a tattva jinyasa. That is what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Jivasya tattva jinyasa marthayascheha karma bhi. Very emphatic statement from Sudha Goswami. Yeah. What's the verse begins? Kamasi indriya priti labho jiveda yavata jivasya tattva jinyasa na arthayascheha karma bhi.
a statement he has put in there in the Bhagavatam to tell us this is the situation. And it's absolutely correct what he has said, that we all got spoiled because of this problem only. All kinds of garbage glorifying this householder life and love life and this, what do they call it, the romance. They think this is all life. Rishis are asking us, is this life you have come here for? So therefore, Sudha Goswami said that if you leave it like animals, if you live, there's no problem. Because animals, they finish the business and over it, finish with it. But we, to improve this love life or romantic life, we have invented so many avenues to expand it in different ways. And if you look carefully in everything what you do, there is an element of that in that. Which means all the time your mind is absorbed in that bhavana mandalam, in that mandalam. After saying that, he says, so tattva jinyasam. So Shaunaka Rishi asked at that time, what is that tattvam? Right? So Sudha Goswami in reply said that, vadandita tattvavidam. You know that verse. Prabhupada has spoken about that verse so many times. This vadandita tattvavidam. You see how the Sanatana Dharma and the Rishi say, they are not talking about a God. They are not interested in that. They are interested in tattvam. Vadandita tattvavidam. Tattvam is the truth. Satyam. Tattvam is the satyam. Vadandita tattvavidam. Tattvam yat jnanam. Advaya jnanam it is. And that tattvam, you can call it whichever way you like it. Brahma, some Brahmam you can call it. Paramatma you can call it. Or people who say God, 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 they are the ones who call it as Bhagavan. That's all. That's all it is. So out of this Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade, in that Bhagavan thing is the one which everybody is fighting about. Who Bhagavan is. Whether it's Krishna is Bhagavan or Shiva is Bhagavan or somebody else is Bhagavan. All these arguments is based on this Bhagavan issue. Brahman, nobody is arguing about it. Paramatma, no argument. On Bhagavan, there is arguments about it. Anyway, so, but is there any difference between the three? No, there is no difference at all. Only in the name there is difference, right? But Anubhuti is the same. There is no duality there, right? In other words, whole creation itself is nothing but a manifestation of that tattvam, right? Chaitanyam. It is Chaitanyam. And this anubhuti, or this experience of that effort, that is called tattva jinyasa. That tattva jinyasa means this effort in a person to experience that anubhuti, either it is Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, whatever it may be. Once you have got that, anubhuti, anubhuti, vadandida tattvavidam. You know that verse, vadandida tattvavidam. Tattvamya jnanam, advaya jnanam it is. Brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavaniti, shabdyade, he said, right? So, once you have got it, then what will happen to you is, there is only Brahmam here. Nothing else exists here, right? Or, in the jnani's language, everything is Brahmam. In the devotee's language, everything is Krishna then. Everything is Krishna. You'll be able to see, nothing will change in the person, in the object. But in your vision, you will only see Krishna's presence in that person. In that person, right? Chaitanya Mayam. So, that is Tattva Jitnyasa. And that is the Tattva Darshi stage, right? So, Tattva Darshi stage, right? This Ramadas Swami, I mentioned before, he used to give the Upadesham to different people to chant Ramchandra's name, Ramanamam, right? And he's the one who propagated the Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, that famous mantra, right? So he will recite this all the time, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, and he will wander around like that. He has written two books, you can see, which is written by someone, but about his teachings, which is called In the Quest of God and or the In the Vision of God. These two books are available. They are on the internet also, right? And he will always give this mantra, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, right? But if you go to the ashram there,
there is no photo of Ramachandra, not any deity of Ramachandra, or anything showing a form of Ramachandra, right? So one person asked him, right, you are talking about Ramachandra all the time, and this Ramachandra whom you are worshipping, where is he? He said. So his answer was, the Ramachandra whom I am worshipping is standing right in front of me, he said. So that means his realization has gone to that level. And for him, the trees, the plants, the creepers, the animals, the birds, everything is Ramachandra's manifestation, right? So he's seeing everything as Ramachandra, and that is called a Tattva Darshanam. You remember Krishna is saying, using that word. Tattva Darshanam means that. Tattva Darshanam. So very, very great sannyasis who are in the mood of goodness, they used to come to his ashram, this Ramdas ashram, right? So one sannyasi came, and Ramdas was very hospitable. He gave all the facilities for the sannyasi to stay. You know, in them days what it was like. There were old buildings, thatched roof and cottages-like thing. Not like in the modern day. Now the ashrams are like five-star facilities we have. Some ashrams have got. But in them days, there was no such thing. People were very poor, and they were not very bothered about also. They had that detachment inside. So very basic comforts only will be there in the ashram, right? So, and this sannyasi who had come, he had a deity of Ramachandra with him, and he will worship that deity daily. And for his deity worship, he had a lot of requirements for his deity worship. And the other people who were present in the ashram, knowing well that he is a sannyasi, they made all the help for him to do the deity worship. Sannyasi had come, is worshipping his deity. So other people are given all the facilities for him, right? So the mother who was running the ashram, Krishna Bai, she was also very well known, managed the ashram after Ramdas left his body, right? Understood that this sannyasi who had come, he gets angry very quickly. Sannyasi he is. He gets very angry very quickly. And he also very insisting that he needs these things for the for his deity worship. In other words, so without anybody's knowledge, he did something. Somebody did something, and this sannyasi didn't like it. So what did the sannyasi do? He beat him up. The sannyasi beat him up, the person who did something which he didn't like, right? And Ramdas came to know about this. So what did Ramdas do? Ramdas got up from his seat, came there, took his deity, and took all the paraphernalia and put it in the well, in the next well. He said, he stopped this worship, he said. It's useless. So this is what we have to understand also, that he tied out everything, the deity and the all the paraphernalia, everything in a cloth, made it a bundle and put it in the well, he said. Right? He says, it's enough, you have done enough deity worship, he told him. That's enough for you, right? So the thing is, what is the purpose of deity worship at the end, right? This, to get to this realization. If deity worship has not helped you for that, you have wasted your time. Nothing has happened. To come, it is, Kapila Maharshi said this in the third canto. You can read it, very clearly explain that, right? So not to get rid of the hate inside, able to find that shanti inside, it is for that purpose deity worship is. And in one place, Krishna has said this, that if you keep on doing this, you hate everyone, gets angry with everyone, quarrel with everybody, and then you are doing deity worship also, what that means is, even after so many years' time, that no benefit has come from that. No benefit has come from that. So this is not to say anything against the deity worship. Don't get it that way, right? What will this purpose of deity worship is this, that Purusha inside the heart, that there this Maya which is the mind should go and dissolve. In other words, mind should not react to situations like this. Mind, to get that mind under control, you are doing the deity worship for that, right? Mind should go and dissolve in the Atma. And that is what is called puja. Puja means that, right? Tattva darshanam means seeing Brahmam or Brahma darshanam everywhere, which is nothing but sarvam kalidam Brahma. Right? In that, tattva darshis who have realized like that, how they see everyone in the Brahmam state, Brahmasthiti, right? And what is the secret behind that? And that is the verse of 16th verse, next verse, which we will discuss on Wednesday at Lokesh's house. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.